This week, we've learned that we're only a few months away from going back to a simpler time before pandas, undead kings, and literally half as many levels as now. But until then, we've got lots of gaming news, events, and history to cover. All of this starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 777, and that must stand for something, for this May 19th of 2019.
We're going to be Lucky Lounge Radio.
My name is Rob Roberts, and that voice you hear over there, welcome back this week, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. All right. Tired, but fine.
Good. Well, I'm going to ask about your week off and some other stuff here real quick as well.
All right.
Of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at about 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And since it is video as well as audio, you can see everything that's going on behind the scenes, including sometimes when your third host is running a little bit behind schedule.
Well, if, you know, some people would just make their teriyaki in a speedy manner instead of spending 25 minutes.
Well, hello, Loki. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, what next time you should ask to speak to the manager.
Yeah, I don't think that'll help.
Show everyone your shirt, RIP.
Oh, yeah, the Grumpy Cat shirt. I don't know if this is true or not, though. Did you hear some of the weird things about the fact that the cat may not have had a very nice name to begin with?
Well, no, the cat's name was Tartar Sauce.
But the rumor is, and this could be a Snopes thing, I haven't looked it up, but that Tartar Sauce was a elongated name for an unfortunate short name that was given to the cat at one point. I'll let you imagine what that might be.
Okay.
So, yeah, but anyway.
As far as I've known since the cat was a kitten, its name was Tartar Sauce.
I'm hoping that story is just some weird Twitter made up thing and isn't actually true, because that would be unfortunate. But regardless, we know that cat meant a lot to many people, so...
But I also encourage people that if you have cats, make sure that you do things to keep their urinary health handled, taken care of. If there seems to be any type of pain when touching the rear of your cat, you know, they react badly to it, or you see any odd bloating, get your cat taken care of immediately. Mm-hmm. Urinary tract infections in a cat are a definite killer. Not like with a human where we can drink some cranberry and be better.
Right.
Not for a cat.
But also, you know, we don't want anybody to, like, feel terrible if, you know, something, you know, pets do pass away.
It's hard.
It happens.
But Midna's 7.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right, on to happier thoughts. Happy thoughts, find your happy place. I want to get to our kickoff topic here in a moment, but while Loki's still getting settled in from running from the teriyaki place from hell, let me ask you, Dark Soccer, you've been gone for a week, because I know you had some conflicts with Mother's Day last week.
Yeah, we ended up going somewhere pretty fancy.
Yeah, well, hey, I ditched this show for a fancy dinner, too. In fact...
There was lobster and filet mignon involved.
In fact, God willing, a week from tonight, I'll be out of town. And when Alan and I go out of town, we like to eat. So maybe Sunday night we'll get to go somewhere fancy.
I won't be here to take care of the smoosh.
Oh, that's okay. He's got somebody else to take care of him. One of my Ingress pals is actually taking care of him. So it's kind of funny. Like the people you meet playing video games.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
well, that's good.
Anyway, I don't know if you know Pesh. He's taking care. Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, a big thank you to him, although I don't think he listens to the show anyway. But anyhow, let me ask you, Dark Sakura, you were gone last week, but this weekend you were pretty busy too, even though you were here for the show.
Good Lord.
You've been, visiting a pinball show, right?
Yes. It was formerly Pinagogo in Dixon. They since moved to Lodi, in the Grape Festival buildings. But it's now called the Golden State Pinball Expo. The first one was last year. The second year they've got a bigger showing from some of the, other designers. There was a big Stern presence, of course. Marco Pinball was there. You know, they do pinball supply. We had a few of the other, like, is it P3, I think, that did the modular pinballs, like Lexi Lightspeed, and they have a new one now. But I got to play, I mean, the highlight of the thing for me, the thing I was most looking forward to, is playing Black Knight Sword of Rage. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're thinking about getting a Black Knight Sword of Rage, don't get the Pro, get the Premium. Trust me, it's worth the extra $1,200. Because it has the top play field. It's not Black Knight without the top play field.
For those of you that have the extra $1,200 just lying around. But no, I understand. If you're gonna drop that kind of money on your passion, I get it. You gotta go.
Getting the pro is settling.
Yeah. It's just like when they say, you know, one of these days I want to get a Tesla, but yes. I'm not going to get just the base model Tesla.
I don't normally like to show my phone that much, but if you can see, that is the Black Knight sort of rage that I played.
It's a little blurry, but sure.
Yeah.
Next time, get some video.
I got some video of some of it. But
yeah, send it to me in advance, and I can put it as B-roll.
I'm going to get Tesla the scientist.
Okay.
Forget this car stuff.
But there's another look at the marquee.
Ooh. So, yeah, it's a little blurry. That's all right.
That's all right, but yeah, so that was really, I mean, one of the highlights. I did get a little bit of video of people playing it, but my video is not great since I took it with my phone. I kept, like, hitting the Magna save way too late, so I would waste my Magna save. It's not easy. I mean, the Black Knight tables have never been, like, particularly easy. Although I would still go on record saying Black Knight 2000 is better still. This one's by no means any kind of a slouch, and I love the video modes in it. You know, just kind of neat stuff.
But how many people go to this convention to try all these new tables and classic tables?
As easily a few hundred to maybe, I don't know if maybe it got up to 1,000. I'm not the best judge of a crowd. I'd say more like around 500 or so.
That's still not a bad turnout for what is, you know, and I mean this with all due respect, what's in the middle of nowhere, California, really.
And there were people there from Canada.
Oh, wow.
I saw, you know, shirts for their Canadian pinball group. Some from San Francisco, Bay Area.
Yeah, sure. Probably get a lot of that.
You know, up the West Coast, there were some of the Oregon ones, some of the others. You know, so it was a pretty good showing. And like I said, there was a big support from it from a lot of the developers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also was very pleased to see, I mean, despite, though, having a lot of the newer pins, one thing that did disappoint me was seeing fewer of the protos there. There was no Big Bang Bar. That was really what was surprising and disappointing to me, because Big Bang Bar was there last year. For those who don't know, it was a Capcom prototype that they made, like, I think 16 of. And we knew a couple of people who had legit ones, and then the license got released for another company to reproduce them. So you can find more Big Bang Bars out in the wild. And Kingpin was the other one that Capcom was doing. But there were some interesting ones that I hadn't seen for a while. Of course, they have the classic pinball room right in the front. And, you know, in the middle area is where, like, usually the showcase ones are, like some of the nicer pins and some of the more fan favorite ones, although there was not a theater, and honestly we didn't bring our theater because our theater is too nice. I wouldn't want it dinged up. Our theater is in really pretty shape.
People, a lot of times, if you go to one of those types of conventions, whether it's pinball or old arcade games or what have you, in your area, like, a lot of times those machines are being donated by enthusiasts, you know, that have these machines in their
houses.
We
bought three.
Yeah, so, like, y'all got to treat them with respect.
Yeah, these are not, you know, arcade player beater ones, you know, that they expect to see something happen to.
These
are people's babies.
That's why I hate when I see, like, disrespectful kids at these events, which, to be fair, I usually don't, you know, but I've seen it once or twice, and it's really irritating because it's one thing. I mean, I'm not like, you know, screw them. Don't bring them. You know, I'm all for educating, letting your kids play stuff that are, you know, historic and old games. But, you know, you got to make sure your kids respect the stuff.
Totally. Well, one of the other cool things with this one is that there were actually a few, though, that I was really looking forward to see and was glad to, like Black Rose. I maybe see, like, one hanging around. And there were a couple. There were a lot of Doctor Who's. We just got our Doctor Who not long ago. So we brought Doctor Who, The Shadow, which, I mean, bad movie, great pinball. And our old one, Spanish Eyes, is from 1972.
Hmm.
I found one that's called Four Queens, and it's actually like a poker-themed game, but I wanted to retool it to be Four Drag Queens,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to put, like, local queens on it.
Okay, fun.
Dan and I just kind of joked about it, but I mean, I did play a bunch, and that's going to get into my, you know, games of the week, which I could go ahead and do.
No, I think we're going to get into our kickoff topic, but I just wanted to kind of, at a high level, talk about, you know, the expo and so forth. So it's a yearly thing or a twice-yearly thing?
It's yearly.
Yeah.
And Pinagogo is still going on. This one replaced the original Pinagogo. Pinagogo is now happening later in the year in Dixon.
I see.
Which, thank God, because going at this time of year, now with the rain, you know, going on here that we have right now, it's actually been okay, except the drive to Lodi was harrowing. There was an overturned semi.
Yikes.
But the problem with Pinagogo before was that it was in this big, unair-conditioned, like, silo building and corn pollen and...
Well, now, yeah, but you're right. Now that the weather's like this, where it's raining at the end of May and cold outside,
it
which is
good.
Totally unusual. But whether you like it or not, it's unusual for this time of year.
There was a ton of hail in Stockton,
was
too.
Was it really? I saw there was like a big...
It was supposed to thunderstorm, though, today. And so I was supposed to go to Davis Pride
Maybe
this morning.
Our lucky episode will get knocked out by the power. Well, wouldn't that be a hoot and holler?
I was supposed to go to Davis Pride today with the sisters, and we're like, we're going to get rained out, it's thunderstorms. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going, sleep in. I wake up and it's sunshine for like a minute.
Yeah, I think it was
a
little
delayed.
And then,
boom.
Yeah.
So I repotted some plants.
All right, anyway, we're going to get into our kickoff topic for tonight, and then we'll talk a little more pinball with you a little later, I'm sure, Dar Sakra. And then we'll give Loki a chance to shovel food into his mouth. But I do want you to talk about kind of like the follow-up to this kickoff topic, which I'll...
Well, I can
I'll
talk about this too because I watched it.
Oh, okay, good. Because I didn't actually watch this a direct that happened. And, of course, we're talking about the Super Mario Maker 2 direct that happened this week. I didn't actually watch it. I just read the highlights. So do you want me to go over the highlights, then you can touch on anything I missed?
Yeah, you can, because a lot of it was just kind of retreading. It seems like, if you've never seen Mario Maker before, here's Mario Maker stuff.
Okay, know? But I think there was a lot of new stuff that they unveiled in that trailer where, you know, I actually think in some ways, Loki, it's like the reverse, where, like, I think many people were thinking this game was just going to pretty much be a rehashing of Mario Maker for the Wii U, but with some extra stuff. But when we talk about some extra stuff, we're talking about extra stuff.
There's a ton of extra stuff.
Yeah, there's a ton of extra stuff. So a 100-level story mode is probably the big thing right off the bat. So now there's stuff to do in like a single-player mode, and you basically are rebuilding Princess Peach's castle, and you get rewards when you complete levels for constructing the castle and so forth. So that's pretty neat. There are new settings, themes, and enemies, which, you know, kind of you'd expect.
Yeah, it's the woods,
desert,
and snow, and sky.
Yep. And nighttime, too, as well, right?
Right. They have the moon or I don't know what they're calling it. That's not the mad sun, but mad moon. Or not mad moon. Happy moon. It's a moon.
Anyway, stages can also have win conditions that are not just touching the flag at the end. That's going to get very interesting for creativity.
That was Mario 2, like legit old school Mario 2 with the wind effect.
Mm, yeah, so it could also be the fact that you might have to collect a certain number of coins, and that will clear the level. Perhaps there is a specific power-up that you have to grab during the level and finish with that. So that could be very interesting. There's also going to be a Super Mario 3D World theme, but it's being treated a little separately than the rest of them. So because it adds different things that they are not scaling back to, like 8-bit Mario and things like that.
Yeah.
So things like Cat Mario are going to be exclusive to 3D World. And even though it's 3D World, you're still making 2D stages. It's just the 3D World theme that goes with it. So that's kind of fun. This also means like trampolines and some unique enemies as well. And then this is huge. And you know what's funny? Now, not that I want to say I called it, but this is what I said way back in the day. If you want to convince a Mario Maker 2, here's like the number one thing you can do that would just like change the game and make it, you know, a whole new experience. Competitive play is in as well as online. So now
and
you can
cooperative
play with friends.
Play.
And cooperative play as well. That's right. So both. You can make and play levels cooperatively. You can also play competitively, racing people, trying to be the first to finish. And I you know, not to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy for a moment because I do believe I said here on OLR a couple weeks ago that would be exactly a thing that you could do. Race to the finish, you know, be ghosts with your other friends while
you're playing. Well, of course, because else are we going to sell you on that multiplayer, you know, Nintendo Online Pass?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. You know, that if they weren't doing that, maybe there wouldn't be as much incentive to get online. But I guess my assumption was that if you even want to get the levels, like if you want to download levels, don't you kind of need the Nintendo Online to do that?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in front of or behind the wall. I mean, I guess with a story mode and the fact that you can save all your creations locally, you don't need online. But, I mean, I would think you're just missing out if you don't have online. So, anyway, So yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, the multiplayer thing
that sounds fun
was like the only thing they needed. Everything else, I you know, in some ways, I don't even necessarily think they needed it. Just everything they talked about so far was a plus. So I like, honestly, I think I got the kind of perception from this from a lot of people on social media is that even if somebody like maybe already owned this on Wii U and was kind of like, maybe I'll get it when it goes on sale, or maybe I'll wait for it, which Nintendo games rarely go on sale, but you know, maybe through a retailer or come Black Friday or something. But I think most people have kind of like upgraded where it's like, oh yeah, day one purchase. There's too much shit here I can't ignore. Like between the multiplayer, which is going to make Twitch streams are going to be so fun, especially if they get the co-op Twitch streaming. Because I know that's in there for partners right now. I really hope they get it in for affiliates and really everybody soon, because that's going to be awesome. If, like, say, I could team up with Bobby, you know, Delvin from VG Realness, some of the other streamers that I know, and we could, like, race levels online, I think that would be a lot of fun.
I had pretty much already decided to get it anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was – and Mario Maker, honestly, was my favorite game of the year it came out, what, 2016 or whatever year it came out? You know, that was like a must-have game for Wii U. So I was honestly all for them just porting it over to the Switch. The fact that it's going to be a step beyond that just makes this like even like hype. I'm hyped. Super hyped about this. So
Linda, you got to say it right. Hype.
Hype. Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf's in our chat because, again, we do tape live on Sunday nights at 6 Pacific right after Bobby Blackwolf, and he's in our chat room, which you can join us at twitch.tv/VogNetwork and also at our Twitch channel. You can check videos. If the audio podcasts that are free through iTunes and Google Play and all the places you find podcasts, if the audio is not good enough for you, you can get the video archives with a Twitch subscription to the VOG Network channel, which you get a free one if you're a Twitch Prime person. So consider using it at VOG Network and you get access to our entire video archive. It's pretty cool. Bobby Blackwell says, I can't wait to lose all races. See, he says that. He says that, and then like when we play Mario Kart online, maybe he'll lose the first one.
Aim low and exceed.
Yeah, but then he'll be like first place the next two races. He'll be like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I'm supposed to be bad at this. Maybe you're all really bad. I don't know. So do not be deceived when Bobby talks about his skill. He's better.
Well,
than
he's just under promising and over delivering.
That's right. yeah. See, Bobby followed that up with, well, maybe you are all really bad. Yeah, that's what I thought. Tiger Kalan chat says, speaking of Mario Kart, Team Sonic Racing comes out on Tuesday. Anyone getting it? I know we have a story referencing Sonic Racing later on, but at a high level, is anyone in here considering Sonic Racing?
Not really.
I think I might. Those games are fun. I mean, the $60 price.
I just bought a game yesterday.
I know. I might. You know, I have a flight on Wednesday, so I'm going to, and I bought the Tetris 99 DLC. So I thought I might play that a little bit, but I don't know. Like, I think I might be talked into playing some...
Is there Danica Patrick in it?
No, Danica Patrick is not in it this
time.
Well,
then, what's the point, then?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably going to be looking, though, for more gaming content that I can play on my Mac while I'm out, as I finally found, like, a plug-in mouse.
Yeah.
So I can actually do the stuff like some of my other clicky games that I super like.
Well, it's not to get too off topic, but at some point that Apple Arcade thing is going to come out. And I would think that's going to really blow the lid off of Mac gaming. And, you know, for everybody that jokes, ha-ha, Mac gaming, I think this is going to be very interesting how Apple's going to leverage their success with phone apps.
Well,
to
what people weren't realizing is that there already were a bunch of games coming out on Mac. You know, people don't like to really look at the App Store, but if you look at the App Store and, you know, look at the gaming area, yeah, there's some of those like generic ones on there, but there were some big names, one like Braid and Transistor.
Every platform has zonk games. Like every platform has passable games.
Good platforming games. There was another one I like that was, oh gosh, now I can't remember the name of it, but it was a typography based game. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look in my installed games, but I was playing the stew out of that for a hot minute until I got busy.
Also, to be fair, when people do the whole like haha Mac games, people will say the same thing about Xbox. People will be like, what's Xbox got to play? And it's like Xbox actually has a lot to play, like Halo. Forza Horizon is like probably the best racing game out there, in my opinion. I think there's elements of Forza Horizon I enjoy more than Mario Kart, quite frankly. So, you know,
it was called Type Raider.
Yeah, people are just weird. People are going to say what they're going to say. Oh, Pixel Pacas is agreeing with you. Typewriter.
That was it. That was super, super fun. But also that other game that I liked a whole lot. I can't remember the name of any of the games I was playing that I super like. Fractal. Fractal, right. Make Blooms Not War. Mm. That game is pretty. And the music is great in it. It looks more of an ambient thing, but it's a highly addictive game. And I really wish that had taken off a lot better with other people.
Yeah. Anyway, I do want to mention before we get into our gaming weeks and move on with the rest of the show, though, there was kind of like a follow-up to this as well, something to do with, I guess, a way to entice more people to jump in and buy this game on the first day. Right, Loki?
Yes, we don't do discounts, but you can buy this thing that's like a ticket to two games, and it's only $99.99, so you're really saving $10 on each game. Well, potentially saving $10 in each game, because some of the games that includes are already $50. So no savings there. But you
have to really strategically plan out what you're going to buy.
Yeah, you have to like pick two $60 games if you want to save some money. And so you can use that. They said, well, you can use it for Zelda, and you could pre-order Mario Maker 2.
I already have Zelda.
Exactly. I already have Zelda, too. So
are they gonna extend it to any other future releases? Like, can I hang on to it when Animal Crossing comes out? Or is it something where, like, I have to use it by a certain
day?
Well,
you have to use it, I think, within a year.
Okay. So there's a good chance that Animal Crossing will be a holiday game. And so if I buy that now, I can kind of sit on it and use it for Animal Crossing. But at the same time, that means I'm dropping $50 for Animal Crossing 6 months in advance or so, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Although, granted, I'm super more excited about Animal Crossing than I am about Mario Maker.
Everybody's got their different things that they're hyped about. I understand. So, and wait till after E3. If you can believe it. So, we're not here next week. OLR is going to be off for the Memorial Day weekend because both Dar Sakura and myself are going to be out of town at different events. So, and we've been saying that for weeks now. So, we're not going to be here next week. When we come back that Sunday, that's like the week leading into E3. It's not the night that like press conferences just straight up interrupt our show, but it's like the week before. So, you know, I would say we're about what? So, that's 1, 2, 3. We're 3 weeks away, Dar Sakura, from like knowing about Animal Crossing, assuming that is Nintendo's big reveal this year.
I have my pre-order. I actually went to the GameStops because, okay, what was I? I was buying something at the time. Oh, yeah, I was buying Dan's Red Dead for his birthday, so this was back November. And I was just talking about Animal Crossing. We've got pre-orders for it. I'm like, yeah, what's your release date? Laugh, laugh. January. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Oh, I don't know.
Bobby's razzing you for caving in and using the word pre-order.
Well, whatever.
At some point, it's what the industry calls it. You just have to accept
it's
it.
It's a pre-purchase.
I'm quoting.
Sense or not. Yeah, I'm quoting. Okay.
It's a...
That's why she's saying sick under her breath after every sick.
I prefer when they called it reservations.
Well, if you want to be technical about it, okay?
I don't. I really
don't.
And
we're just going to make it so that it's correct, okay?
Okay,
so
George Carlin.
So a pre-order is you're placing the order before the store actually places the order with the publisher. So technically, you're ordering it before they order it, so it is a pre-order. The order is coming in before they order it.
No, because you are putting in the order and they are forwarding the order. So if anything, it would be a forwarded
I was trying
order.
To help you out here, but fine.
No.
You know what?
I'm the semantics
You're wrong.
Queen. I'm the semantics queen. At any
Can
rate.
We preempt this conversation to talk about literally anything else?
I prefer reservation. I have reservations about this show right now.
Moving on. We are going to get to a segment talking about our gaming weeks. So let's talk a little bit about what types of games we have been playing this week. And I think we can all grammatically agree with that statement. How is your gaming week? Dark Sakura, what have you been playing?
Good Lord. All right, I have to look at my phone because I took pictures of everything I played.
Okay,
so
we don't have
remember.
To have the entire laundry
yes,
list because most people out there are going to be like, I don't know these tables.
Yes, I do.
You played a lot of pinball.
I played Black Knight Sword of Rage. I am going to talk about the notable ones. They had a Pac-Man pinball there, baby Pac-Man, but the Pac-Man table.
Yeah, I've seen the Pac-Man table. Oh, man. They didn't have a baby Pac-Man, though? That's my favorite.
They had the Beatlemania table, which is a remake of a 60s pinball, but with modern tools like magnetic catches and different triggers and different story modes and everything in the full video display. It was really cool.
I had no idea they made a pinball table out of the Beatles.
Well, there was the old one back in the day, but yeah, this one's a remake of the old one.
Huh.
I played one called Fire, which is basically just a town on fire. I played Ripley's Believe It or Not, but the best one ever was this one called Night Moves. The music is like 1982 threw up all over everything, and like the display is right in the middle of it. It's this flat one. They also had the Joust, which is the Versus.
They did a Joust pinball machine?
Yeah, and I'm going to see if, again, anyone can see that.
Your phone pictures don't go very well.
But anyway, it is like a slanted table, you know. So it's upraised in the center. So, but you play and you kick the balls back and forth. So, and then kind of, I guess, like skee ballish versus, you know, I played a bunch of the super old ones. I was kind of actually disappointed not to find a Captain Fantastic. But I did play Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. But like I said, in leading up to, from Bobby, is that they had it set for 2 balls. Per play, and no ball save. The games were over really quick unless you just were really amazing at it.
But you weren't having to actually pay money to play all these games, right? They're all on free play anyway.
They were on free play. I played a little Deadpool. You know, I still think Deadpool is great. My husband's not as big of a fan of it. But one thing that made me happy is that they actually had a Black Knight, a Black Knight 2000, and a Black Knight Sword of Rage all by each other. So I had to go through. Now, the Big Lebowski, they had a Big Lebowski there. And I don't know if you know about the drama of this. As a company created, and they were going to do the Big Lebowski table. And it's a really nice table. They had enough orders to do like 500 or 600 of them and only produced 300 tables. So yeah, people were pissed. But that also means that this table is like super rare. So, I mean, maybe not as rare as Big Bang Bar was, you know, back in the day. But it was pretty rare. It was really fun, too. You know, and I played a Tron.
I love the Tron table. It's so pretty. It's Tron Legacy, technically.
Tron Legacy, yeah. They had a Houdini, which I finally got a chance to play Houdini. And it's okay. They did another one, the same company. It's not Jersey Jack, because Jersey Jack did... it's American Pinball Company, one of the newer ones. But they did Houdini, and then they did a new one, which is Oktoberfest, which I wasn't too into playing. You know, it had, like, just this big, you know, theme of beer, which I have no problem with. And then... you know, I went... That was on Friday when I went back. I have a lot of pictures of Miss Vanjie and... Brooklyn Heights.
Was
I had to go through my phone. No.
Was she there?
No, it's just because they're beautiful. So I also played Space Shuttle, which is kind of one of those middle era ones. Strange Science. Rocky and Bullwinkle. They had a Rocky and Bullwinkle. You know, I used to own one.
Yeah. I remember playing that table at your house.
Strange Science, is that like a knockoff Weird Science?
I think it actually predates Weird Science. But it's kind of different themed. It doesn't have like the make a girl in your garage thing, you know. But Rocky and Bullwinkle, for those who don't know, this was actually one of the first pinballs Dan and I owned. And it has an Easter egg in it. If you look by where Mr. Peabody is standing by the Wayback Machine, there's a DeLorean coming out from it behind him. So, you know, little things are there. There's roller games, played Wizard of Oz, which is another one of those Jersey Jack tables. So is Wonka. Wonka's one of the Jersey Jack tables. I think Beatlemania was also, it wasn't reproduced by Jersey Jack. They had Cyclone and some of those other ones. They had America's Most Haunted, which I think was the only one done by that. They had a Dialed In, which is, of course, another Jersey Jack. The Jersey Jack tables are pricey. But they also had the Munsters. Did you know that that had been a recent one?
You had mentioned it at, like, whatever the last pinball thing was that you went to.
They didn't have it. It wasn't out then.
I remember hearing about it. Oh, you know what? I have a friend on Facebook who's super into pinball as well. Somebody I knew from my Rocky Horror days in San Francisco. She's super into pinball, too. So I think maybe she had posted about it. She was probably at the same show, to be quite honest.
Okay. Well, one of the neat things, though, about Munster's Pinball is that you can get, like, Grandpa's Lab as a mode. And there is this kind of oval-shaped insert in the bottom of it with teeny, teeny, teeny pinball. Like, the flippers are, like, a third the size of the normal flipper, and the ball's, like, a little teeny, teeny, you know, pinball. And you've got, like, traps and catches and stuff in there. It's actually super fun. It's adorable. Huh. But, you know, those were really the big names there. Of course, you know, I played a Black Rose. I think I played, though, that Night Moves a crap ton just because the music was so enamoring. But the other thing for me, there was an Avatar. Which is not fun. Elvis, not fun. Star Wars, pretty fun, because that's also one of Steve Ritchie's. But I had to play roller games, because that's an early Steve Ritchie, and of course, all the Black Knights. There's the X-Men pinball, which is okay. Now, here is me getting into some gripes about some of the newer ones. I really want to love the, is it P3 or P4? I have to look up the name again. They're modular tables. So they're meant that they have a big video screen on the playfield. And then you put in different ramps and different arrangements based on what game you're going to have loaded on the ROM board. Huh. And so Lexi Lightspeed was their first one. And it's fun, you know. It's got, like, a carousel thing to catch your balls for multi-ball. And you can have, I think, like a 10 multi-ball thing. It's pretty intense. It was really fun. But this other one that was called, I have to get the name of it, Cannon Lagoon, it's stupid. I mean, it's like two ramps and three targets and a video screen in the background, and all you do is just try to throw the cannonball at a ship. It's boring. And, like, you have, like, so many balls that balls that you can throw at them. So, really, I wasn't – that was probably the most disappointing thing I played was that one. But, I mean, I loved Munsters, Black Knight. Oh, my God. I think I might have lost my shit a couple of times playing it.
Is it only pinball at this thing? I know it might sound like a stupid question, but I know when I went to the Pinball Hall of Fame Museum in Vegas, they had some 80s arcade games too. So is it only pinball at this, or did you get to play some, like, old school arcade games too?
There was one arcade game, and it was a Donkey Kong.
Random.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody was trying to set a new high score. Who knows?
But I had to, of course, show my own Doctor Who some love, and I went over, and I was like, "It's my baby." You know, I just got to play a lot of stuff I don't normally get to see, and I checked out some stuff that I had seen before and never actually played, and I really tried to give some love to the old pinballs, and, you know, they're simple, but they can be a fun little challenge, too, yeah. You know. I got to play a wood rail pinball, like, from the 50s.
Oh, wow.
And, well, you know what makes them wood rail is that the side, you know, you normally have that metal bit on the side, you know, but these were wood. And they were really fun. They have quite a different feel to it, you know. I tilted Black Knight. It has the best tilt, like, tilt warning. And it's the knight with his fist in the air, and it says, "Danger!" And I'm like, okay, that's going to be my warning symbol for everybody. Is the Black Knight going danger?
Was that...
That's the sound of our show going to turn
was that
off.
It's thunder. Or thunder. Was that the nearby, because there's, like, an airport not
it's
that
dragons.
Far from here, but it's not right. It's not. It's not like a commercial airport. It's like a UPS and that type of airport.
Oh yeah. No, it's not that.
Dude, okay. YYR says fun. That a friend of his actually works IT for Jersey Jack Pinball. Hook a girl up. Tell him to send me some swag. Tell him to be my friend.
All right.
No, not just because, but I actually want to talk. I've tried to make friends with as many people that I know who work in pinball just because I love it so much and want to learn more of, you know, how these, you know, machines come about. I was so mad that I missed the making of the Deadpool because they also had, like, another building with instructionals and, you know, in different, you know, like, meet this designer, learn this. And I was so mad I missed the making of the Deadpool pinball.
I'm really interested in the America's Most Haunted because that was the table that Ben Heck created. And he actually has, it's like an open source table where you can actually get all the software that runs it and everything to build your own tables, which is
America's
awesome.
Most Haunted is actually super fun. It's got, like, just all the modes in it are really fun. The targets are fun. The theming is fun. I like anything that uses magnets, which is why I really like the X-Men game because it's Magneto is your enemy. And
magnets. How do they work?
Anyway, but in that one, it has, like, a mode where it's like the big Magneto fight mode, and there's magnets under the playfield that will activate at different times and switch your ball in a different direction. But this one thing I liked about America's Most Haunted is that there's like a mode where you attack the ghosts and you have to knock down a wall first, and then you have to go in and hit the ghost inside this little cylinder so many times before it'll catch your ball. And, you know, that's one of the you know, various modes in it. It's a good table. It's really a lot of fun.
Anything for your gaming week outside of this pinball expo that you want to mention?
I ain't played shit. No, I'm kidding. I Pokemon'd. I idle pouringed. Oh, and Animal Crossing because I can't get enough.
She can't be stopped.
Darn those king gyroids.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll move on to Loki. I know you probably didn't play pinball this week, but how was your game?
I didn't play pinball this week. I did play a few things. So I did purchase and play a little bit of Miami Shakedown, which is...
Was that the one you were streaming a little bit?
It was the one I was streaming and lost all my progress after I was done with it because I got in this weird glitch that put my game in like this weird state where I was dead and alive at the same time. And so I was like, oh, crap, you know, better save my game to see if I can, you know... at least restart it and, you know, save my progress, and it corrupted the save. So I lost 5 hours. Yeah, that's fine. It's a fun game. But yeah, it's like the sequel to Retro City Rampage almost. And the whole premise of it is that you're this guy who kind of runs this company. And so now you're basically doing all the things that, like, all the predatory things that all the other companies are normally doing, like, you know, clickbait ads, you know, selling gift cards, you know, that no one's gonna redeem, or just like all sorts of crazy stuff. And you're, you know, at the same time also murdering people and all that because it's fun and it's ridiculous. So yeah, it's a really fun game. So I played that quite a bit, and then I went over to Strikes finally because I've never been there. So I played Dance Maniacs, not the Dance Maniacs Konami made, but Dance Maniacs, the actual dancing game, the five, it's the one that's by, I want to say Kyle Ward or whatever. Or...
Oh, they have one of those there?
Yeah, Dance Mania X, I guess, is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it Step Maniacs?
Step Maniacs. Yeah, sorry, not Dance Maniacs.
Yeah, no,
Step Maniacs.
Yeah, that's Kyle's new project.
Yeah, so they have one there.
They have one there.
Yeah, so I played that a bit, and I had... No, well, first off, I didn't really know what songs to play, so I did recognize there was Dream a Dream was on there, or one of the Captain Jack songs was on there.
Yeah,
so.
They got some licenses. You know, he was there. I mean, him and the guys he works with were always pretty smart about that. Was like getting DDR adjacent stuff.
Yeah. So while I like the game because it's fun in the middle, I'm still getting used to the middle step thing being there. What I don't enjoy is the in the grooveness of it, and by in the grooveness I mean that. More than two arrows at the same time type of bullshit, you know, where you have to do knee drops and shit. I'm like, fuck that shit.
You can't just disable that type of stuff?
You might be able to, but I didn't know really what I was doing. But that was the last song.
The step art was always, yeah, okay, I got
so
you.
So, like, and I kept ramping it up a little bit.
Did you like the touch screen for an...
The touch screen is pretty cool, yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, that's pretty smart, making, like, a tablet-style control.
Yeah, I like the game overall, and I'm sure it appeals to other people. I didn't like that particular thing, just the the three arrows at a time. I know that's something that's pretty popular with, like, Pump It Up and stuff
them
like that.
That new generation of Bomani, them kids that
I'm
enjoy
just
their
too
arrow stomping.
I'm just too old to do knee drops and shit, and so it's just I'm not doing that. But it was fun otherwise, really fun game. So I did enjoy that. I was going to play DDR, but DDR was off at the moment. They had an Into Groove 3, but some dumbass was storing their toolbox on the stage, so I don't know who the fuck had that shit.
I would have moved it. I ain't shy. I would have moved it.
Yeah, I should have. But they had it's an Indigroove 3 Step Mania cabinet, basically. So they had that set up there. I don't know why they didn't just put it on the Supernova because the Supernova is off. So I didn't end up playing that stuff, but I wanted to. My kids were whining too, so I didn't want to do it. I did get to play though Neon FM, and so that was fun.
I love Neon FM. I want to go back and play that again.
So I did play
because the first time I played it, I was kind of like, eh, but like now I'm like this is like the American poppin' music. I'm totally
sort of
yeah.
And they have like a poppin' right next to it. It's kind of fun. So
it's been a little while since I've been over there. They didn't have a poppin'.
Yeah, they have a poppin' now.
They still have Sound Voltex.
They still have Sound Voltex.
U-Beat.
Maybe I don't know. But they have a Sound Voltex.
Yeah, that one's fun too.
They have a Poppin. So I thought about...
They get 2DX yet. That's the
no,
one I keep
no
waiting
2DX.
For. Okay, all right. Bummer.
I mean, maybe they can replace the shooting gallery that's in there, but, you know, put 2DX in there. No, but I did play play that, and of course I had to play Girls' Butts, so I did play that. And then
for those that don't understand the reference, it's this old song. Like, we've been talking about the song like when it was like 15 years ago, because it was in this neon game was being conceived like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And they released some songs from it. This was one of the songs, and we always
Thomas Howard Lichen.
Horrible, this song. It's a horrible song.
It's an awesome and look, song.
Mic's hot.
I think you're meaning Lichtenstein.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is that the game is great. I just said what a fan I am. That one song is terrible. It's terrible.
It's awesome, whatever. Yeah, that game is fun too. I'm not very good. See, once again, I don't really understand the rankings on there, so I was like, okay, well, this wasn't that hard. Let me step it up to this. And then it just like goes really hard, like really fast.
Yeah.
And I'm just not very good at, like, you know, I'm not very good at popping music.
Did you do the connectivity with the phone? And the, you know,
no,
I'm assuming that's still a thing.
It is still a thing. You can stamp QR codes and stuff. I was just like, I don't need to do it. Like, but it was fun. So I played that.
When I do it, a little picture of Alyssa Edwards comes up because that's my avatar.
And then various other arcade games. I always play the Jurassic Park game because that's my youngest son's favorite game. So we always play that.
And this is Rob Roberts' secret.
But yeah, the only complaint I have about that arcade is the prices are so expensive. Like, not so much the music games. The music games are fine, but like, my kids don't play the music games. They play the redemption games. And like, that stupid Crossy Roads thing, which, like, you die like in 3 seconds, is a buck each time you play it. That's a little ridiculous. But whatever, that's what it is. And I tried to tell them, do you really want to play this, or you want to play this game that you can race a whole race on? I want to play this game. Okay, fine.
Interesting, though, about the price stuff, because Loco Poco is reminding us in chat, I can't wait for Roseville to get around one. And that's another suburb in the area we live in, and that's not far at all from Strike. No. So it's going to be interesting when that round one opens up.
It's still pretty far away.
I guess. It's a pretty distance away, but
pretty good distance.
It's a definite schlep for me.
Yeah,
for
me, they're both far away, but yeah.
I mean, but I will still patronize it. I will still go and spend my money there to support having a round one, then maybe that we'll get one out in my neighborhood.
Yeah. VidPower says, for people who have played Neon FM Arcade, how much did your arcade charge per song?
It was
a dollar for
it was
three?
A dollar for three, yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, didn't it have, like, a sliding scale for because it uses a card, and, like, if you put more money on the card, you get more points, right? Isn't that
No, this isn't points. It's actual money. So okay. It's actual dollars. It's not like one of those ones where it's 60 points, and you have to try to calculate the math and everything.
Okay, then it's a dollar for three songs.
It's a dollar for three songs, and so that was okay. And the same for the Step Maniacs. I think that was $1, $1.50 for three songs. But that was most of the games. But, like, in that new music games, usually those are usually the ones that are the more expensive games, but they weren't here. It's just all the redemption games are really expensive.
Loki, this show's also 17 years old. Prices have gone up.
Well, no, I understand that. I understand that prices would go up in general, but you would think that those games don't have as much of a draw anymore. But then why shove your arcade full of them if that's the case? I mean, whatever.
I think that place gets really full on like Friday and Saturday. I know there's a hardcore crowd, which is funny because it's like, you know, back in the day that was our scene, those are our people. Not to say they're not our people, but you know what I mean, like back in the day that was us hanging out.
Yeah,
you know. And now I'm like, what mix number are they on at Beatmania now? I lost count, you know.
It's a pretty decent arcade. I would definitely go back and play some stuff, just not with my kids because, you know, they whine too much.
All right,
so that's it. Oh, and Pokemon Go.
Okay. My game of week. So I've been pretty busy playing a variety of different games. Diablo 3 started season 17. So I got, season 17. I got in on that, playing a little bit of that, trying to level. Nobody's power leveling me, boohoo. But I think I've gotten my wizard up to like 40 by myself. So I'll probably keep working on that at least till I get level 70, get my pity set for the season and some of the achievements. That would be nice. That'd be fun. And then I've been playing Heroes of the Storm. I mentioned last week I was back on my bullshit with that game. So I'm continuing my bullshit this week.
I might go back in and play with you on that one because I'm considering playing it again.
Oh, yeah. I only play AI matches, but sure. Actually, I did one match with real people this week. I played White Mane as one of the newer healer characters that I played in a real people match, and it went horrifically. So that will be my last player versus player match for some time.
I think it was Spike and a couple others.
Oh, fun.
This is a couple years ago, but yeah. I remember that. And it was a lot of fun when you have friends.
The game, yeah, the game hasn't changed that much. Well, I say that. Actually, it's changed a lot. But, like, the look and feel hasn't really changed. I mean, some of the mechanics have been balanced out over time, and there's a lot more characters. But, you know, the base concepts and things haven't changed significantly. So let's see. Other stuff that I played this week, continuing on with Final Fantasy XIV. Haven't been playing that a lot since we're really in that pre-expansion lull, because there's a new expansion looming at the end of June, so there's not a lot to do right now. But soon there will be more. And then some other stuff that I don't usually talk about. I played some Tetris 99 this week because they had that event going on where you could get the special Game Boy skin if you got enough points. And some of it was rough because I was getting like 4 points or 7 points at a time because I would come in like, I think one match I was like 62nd place. Another match I was like, you know, maybe like 31. You get like, you know, you get more respectable showing when you get the higher you get.
You ever won any?
I have never won one, sadly. The highest I got my highest placement with the very last match because it gave me all the points I needed. I got 6th place in a match. So I was very...
That's respectable.
Here's the thing that fucks me up on Tetris 99. I do fine normally, but it's when the pieces start dropping like crazy. And the Switch controller, especially if you're playing like with the... controllers docked on the system, which is how I, you know, so I can play like lying on the couch or whatever.
Yeah.
I can play 99 that way. It really doesn't control well. I really don't like controlling it that way because you have to use those little buttons. You can't use the L stick because the L stick is for like targeting and stuff. So I really don't like playing that way. It's a lot better on a pro controller. But even then, yeah, that's my one complaint is that just it doesn't control perfection. So when the pieces start dropping really fast, I lose it. Like I can't. I'm fucking up left and right, putting bricks where they shouldn't be, and so I can't handle the speed when it gets that fast. So YYR in chat says, damn, I forgot about the event. It's already over. No, you have until 11:59 Pacific tonight. So
get on it.
Yeah, get on it.
You have 2 hours.
The nice thing is, no, 11:59 Pacific.
Right, I said Pacific.
Pacific. So you have about 5 hours.
Oh,
so.
Wait. No.
Pacific time. It's only 6:54.
I'm sorry. I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I thought.
Words.
Right. It's fine. So anyway, I will say this. The nice thing is you get to kind of preview the skin because the tournament is played on that Game Boy skin that you're basically working to earn. So, you know, at least play one or two matches so you can see it because maybe you'll play it and be like, eh, the skin isn't that good. And that would be fine as well. So up to you. Let's see. What else did I play? Oh, real quick. I got one other. So I bought the Castlevania collection on PlayStation 4. Yeah, because that came out on Tuesday. So I only played old school Castlevania. But yeah, it's old school Castlevania with you know, one save state that you can save and load if you want. Although back in my day, we didn't have save states. You had to play through the whole game or you were trash. So I wanted to see if I can at least get back up to level 5 in the Grim Reaper boss because stage 5 has the best music and like probably like any – well, I don't know because some of the music in Simon's Quest is so amazing. But at least in Castlevania 1, stage 5 is like my favorite song of the whole game. So I want to get back to that to hear that again. Yeah. So I was having fun. I guess Konami did an all right job with it. Like they didn't fuck it up completely. So let's celebrate that. They didn't.
Hooray, you emulated the game well.
You did a thing.
You did a thing that everybody's been doing for several decades now.
So, yeah. I'm hearing that they're going to release the Japanese versions as like an add-on, a free patch thing later on. So that if you want to play Castlevania 3 with like the bonus Famicom disc music set. Or I think it might have been something that was actually in the cartridge. I don't remember how that worked. But there was like just some extra tones in Japan. So we'll be able to actually play that version soon too. Although they didn't date that. So we don't know when. But that's something that's coming, which is pretty exciting. So,
hooray.
So, all right. Let's see. Tartatsuya in chat says M2 killed it with this collection, in my opinion. You can hear the better music on the main menu. That is true. You can hear that music right away while you're picking, because it does have your basic menu that, you know, you can pick a game. It has like a manual, like a virtual manual that you can look through online. You know, some of the things that like collections do these days is it's cute. You know, again, they did a thing. I'm sure it's in some ways, I kind of wish I hadn't bought it on PlayStation 4. I don't know why I did. I was like, oh, trophies, television. I don't know. I haven't bought anything on PlayStation 4 in a while. Let's do that. I wish I'd bought it on the Switch. Because then I could pick it up and take it with me. And I bet the collection is great on Switch. But, oh, well. So much for that. Anyway, so that was my gaming week. Okay, sorry. I know it was a lot, but I had a busy week with gaming. So that's good. We, you know, sometimes we like to play video games around here, believe it or not. But let's get into some gaming news. Some quick housekeeping. One more time, I will say it. We're not going to be here next week. Dark Sakura is going to Southern California. She's going to Drag Con.
Yep.
So she can meet Miss Vanjie.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. And what are...
Like, I met Alexis Mateo last year.
Quickly. This isn't a Drag Race podcast, and Loki's going to internally scream if we go too far off the rails. But your top three queens you want to meet at Drag Con. Top three.
Miss Cracker again.
Okay.
Trixie.
Uh-huh.
No, wait, not Trixie. Katya.
Okay.
I like Katya better. Sorry.
Wow, wig. Okay.
And... I don't know. I want to see Mayhem again. I really liked Mayhem. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I want to, though, find out what the hell's up with Soju. Soju's really, though, stepped up the game since Drag Race already.
The good news is, too, Mayhem comes up here locally a lot. All right. But anyway, we're not going
to
derail too
much. I'm also going to be going to Mickey's, but I don't think Mayhem's hosting that night.
So you're going to Drag Con. You're going to some drag events affiliated with Drag Con.
I want to see Bible Girl again if she's there. I'd really like Madeline Hatter to come.
You're going
to
do some other non-drag things, though, too, right?
Yes. I'm going to San Diego to visit with some sister friends and hopefully go to Extraordinary Desserts, which I haven't been to in like 12 years. Amazing. And then back up and going to Disneyland on Tuesday. Maybe by myself.
Disney will be fun. Oh, call Arya Snark. Well, she's probably working. Arya Snark will be like, well, it's a day ending in Y. Let's go to Disneyland.
Well, I'm going to say this. My thing about going to Disneyland by myself is every other time I have ever gone to Disneyland, there have been other people with me. And I either have to slow down to other people's pace or catch up to other people's pace. And if my feet hurt, I feel guilty about sitting down by myself. You know, I may have another mutual friend of ours meet there. Maybe Renee.
Yay.
But if not, I'm not at anything.
You know,
it's
what?
A day at my pace.
I totally respect that. You know what? I had an ex who was really into Disneyland. You probably know who I'm talking about, before I was with Alan. So it was a while ago, right? Because I've been with Alan for almost a decade now. But my ex right before Alan was super into Disney. And used to go by himself to Disneyland. And I at first I was always kind of like, you go to Disneyland by yourself? But then when I kind of like heard more about it, I was like, because he loved to people watch. He said the people watching, Disneyland is better than any other place on the planet for people watching. And I believe it.
I think I want to take my legit Polaroid with me.
Yeah.
And just take Polaroids of scenes at Disneyland. But, you know, the other thing too is it's also going to be my first attempt at Disney bounding.
Ah.
So I have a Captain Marvel like skater dress. Mm-hmm. And all I need is a brown hoodie or sweater. And then I'm going to get like flight pin to pin to the jacket, you know, kind of like her end of the movie outfit.
Yeah. I didn't see the movie, but I know the outfit.
But, you know, I was just thinking, I haven't Disney bounded before. I've got the dress. You know, why not just go have fun?
So, some folks in chat, full support of what you're doing. YYR said, not that you need anybody's permission, but YYR says, going to an amusement park by yourself equals you get to do whatever the heck you want. And Bobby Blackwell says, best part of Disney by yourself is being a single rider. Jump all the lines.
Well, on top of that, anyway, I always wait for the front of the line, like for, well, now it would be Incredicoaster, which I haven't been on. Mm. But it's the same real fucking roller coaster. But, you know, I usually wait for fronts of the lines anyway, so I have no problem with that.
Will you FaceTime me when you go on Incredicoaster just so you can stick your phone out so I can ride the ride with you?
I actually...
So you can drop the ride or drop it?
Bad idea.
Well, I mean, I would hold it, but usually because of my vertigo problem, I'm actually really holding tight, and I also have to hold my glasses on sometimes.
She just needs to strap a GoPro to her head.
All right. FaceTime me on Haunted Mansion then.
Someone get me a GoPro. Get me a GoPro, and I will record all of my... but the problem being, number one, Loco Poco, I hate mint juleps. Hate them.
She's responding to a chat comment about
Loco Poco says lobster roll, gumbo, and mint juleps. I'm not going to Blue Bayou because it'll be me, and since my gastric bypass, I can't eat enough food to make it worthwhile. So I'm actually going to be bringing a messenger bag with me into the park for my stuff, and I'm probably going to have little containers of leftovers with me because I will probably get like one. Like maybe a Monte Cristo, and that will be three meals for me. I'm not joking. That will be three meals.
Sure.
Although Blue Bayou is one of my favorite places to eat, my other favorite place is gone. I do have a bucket.
Oh, the bucket of meat.
Bucket of meat. Yeah. And I like Carthay. Okay. I ate there once.
Let me wrap up a little bit because are getting a little deep on Disney and it is a gaming podcast. But do let us know like what types of like games you see there. You know, maybe you'll see some Kingdom
excited.
Hearts references. Huh?
I just got excited.
You should.
Well, you know they had Kingdom Hearts pins.
Yeah.
They have King Mickey in the hood.
We want the update on all the loot because there's a third game out there now to support. So who knows?
Anyway. You know, the third game actually came with its own pin.
Yeah. Anyway, so Darkstalker is going to be there. So again, this is about there being no show next Sunday. I'm going to be in Chicago, which is fun because I have a lot of good friends there that I visit, once a year or try to. But the whole way this started before it turned into this whole now Alan's coming and we're just going to hang out with friends and everything, is that I'm going to an Ingress Anomaly. So like a live event for Ingress. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So that is. That is actually on Saturday, but I'm not going to be back in time. So
they do unknowns for that as well?
No, because it's not the same. Like, Pokemon and Ingress don't overlap.
They're already there.
No, in fact, actually, it's kind of the reverse of that. Niantic did some shitty planning because that Lapras, that shiny Lapras, like, it's a three-hour event, if I remember right, and the last hour of the event is the first hour of the anomaly. So they overlapped it. So we can't do both. And it's actually really annoying because there's a lot of people that are like, but I want to catch Lapras. So it's like, no, we need you in the anomaly. You need to be firing bursters.
So they overlapped it?
Fuck you. I'm out. I'm out.
No. By the way, I got my shiny Torchic today. Just saying.
Oh, yes. I did play Pokemon Go and I played via Bluetooth and I caught one Torchic, so I'm happy enough with that.
So. I want a second one to evolve it.
I evolved it all the way and got that whatever you're supposed to get.
Blaziken or whatever?
Yeah, the special powered one. And I did get one shiny, but it's shit stats, so I don't know.
All right. So anyway, so that's why we won't be here next Sunday, but we'll miss you and we'll be back in 2 weeks and E3 is going to be here before we know it.
I may stream something because Bobby said that he would just kick it over to me.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
That's a good, because you're still not affiliate, right?
No, I'm not.
It's a really good way to get your average numbers up. So I'd really consider it.
Yeah, I probably will.
All right. Do some DDR or something. Play something fun.
We'll see.
All right. And also, I should just note, episode 777, although, I don't know, we kind of stopped celebrating landmark numbers a long time ago. This one has some particular significance to it because 777 is a song that was originally in Guitar Freaks, right? And then was in Poppin Music and then was in DDR. So it's in like all the big Bomani franchises. So 777 is actually the name of a song. So I remember back in the day when we were focused on music games and I think we were doing I want to say it was during episode 77. Somebody probably cracked the joke like, oh, we're so close. We probably played 777 on a break or something. And we probably cracked the joke like,
did we play 770 or did we play the 7 jump? Because we probably played the 7 jump.
We probably played both. We played a lot of music back in those days. We probably played both. But I imagine we cracked the joke about, oh, 777 will be here, but we won't. Type of thing. Like, or we said, gosh, if the show stays on pace, will it be on episode 777 by like 2018, 2019 or whatever we predicted at the time? Because you never know, like weeks off, holidays, things like that. We might have thought it was going to be earlier. And here we are. We're still here, believe it or not. So in some ways, it's kind of funny because I know we made the joke at some point that, well, we're not going to be there when episode 777 hits. And yet we are. So thank you all for being here and making it worth it.
Goes to show what we knew.
Yeah, right.
Whatevs. Don't listen to us anymore. We all know we're talking about Durr.
All right. Anyway, let's get into some news. So, Loki, start us off with some headlines, some news this week.
So, as I mentioned, I did purchase Shakedown Hawaii. I want to say Shakedown Miami. On the Epic Games Store, during their Epic Games Store sale, their mega sale. Now, this sale is a little different than most sales that you would see like on the Steam store, because this one the developers behind the games, they have no real say in this at all. Epic is just giving you $10 per game that's over $15 or $15 and more towards your purchase. So like, for example, this game was $19.99. I paid $9.99. sounds good to me. However, not a lot of people that are developers that are on here are kind of happy with this because, one, it's devaluing their game. So on other platforms, they may also have an agreement where they have to keep price parity. And since they didn't have a say over the fact that whether they participated in the discounts or not, it's just kind of happening with Epic doing it, that they're a little unhappy with that. And that can actually put them in some trouble. In fact, there's even been some publishers dropping out of this as well. So, for example, one of the publishers during the Mega Sale that's behind Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, they had taken their game off of the storefront for a while because of this reason as well. They said, and of course, Epic came out and commented, if a developer or publisher chooses not to participate in our sales, we will honor that decision. Paradox Interactive has chosen not to participate in the Epic Mega Sale, and the game has been temporarily removed from sale. If you purchase Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 during the period when the discount did not apply at the time of checkout, Epic will honor that price.
So I get it. So Epic was putting these games on sale, and publishers kind of just got told they were participating, or like it almost sounds like it now, ask for forgiveness later. Yeah. Which, when it comes to money, amateurish mistake by Epic.
And whoa, it gets better. Oh boy. So not only are the developers not necessarily behind on having their games on here. So on top of that, there's some games that are being pre-ordered right now, and this actually applies to pre-orders. Funny enough, Borderlands 3 is not able to be pre-ordered right now, so I can't put $10 towards that because that would be something I'd want to put $10 towards, but they know that game's going to sell whatever.
It's also a little too easy.
Yeah, it's a little too easy, but whatever. So they have, that it's devaluing their game, and that may cause people to wait on that. But the people that did actually take part in this as well, if you had made 5 purchases in a row, guess what? Because they don't have a cart that you can build, that you can buy multiple games at a time, you have to do a piecemeal one at a time. You do it 5 times, the system flags you as the transactions that, I don't know how the exact term, but it's basically phishing. They lock your account because that you're purchasing all these games.
So, I mean, I think this is, it's finally the Epic Store kind of showing maybe where their weakness is, and that is experience, because I think there's been a lot of people that have been saying, oh, well, Steam, they suck because, their store is full of garbage, and, the Epic Store gives more money to the publishers. And we even saw when the Epic Store, when they came out and they said, well, we'll stop grabbing all these exclusive, the Borderlands and stuff, when Steam starts giving more share to the publishers and so forth. So they say that, and then they do this on one hand, which in some ways is almost a little bit anti-publisher to not ask for permission first before putting all these games on sale. That's a really, I don't know a better word than it's a dumb move. It's a dumb move what they did. I mean, sure, the consumers, the gamers are sitting here going, great, deals, sales.
Yeah,
yay.
But it's not
sure. But I mean, don't you guys see how stupid that is? That Epic on one hand is saying, well, Steam, if you'd only do this, and then they go and do something bonehead like this. Like, it just shows.
And
how
long are they
going
to be able
experience?
To just throw money at the problem? It's not that, people don't necessarily want to jump into the Epic Store because that it's the Epic Store. They want to jump in because the Epic Store doesn't have most of the features that Steam has right now. It's very bare bones, and there's not a lot of games on there. And yeah, the sale is a neat idea, but and it's good that you're paying that portion to it, but how long are you gonna be able to throw money at the store to get people to come in before people just realize that, whatever. I'm like, personally, I bought this game on the Epic Store because it's exclusive there right now. I wanted to play it. I could have bought it on console, but I'm never going to get the TV back, so it's fine. I'm just going to play it on my PC. And I'm happy they did it. Doesn't mean I'm going to buy all my games on the Epic Store. So, I don't know.
YYR with his perspective in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork saying, FYI, all Steam sales are opt-in. If I don't log into the Steamworks portal, accept the terms, and set a discount rate, my games don't get discounts during big Steam sales. And Metal Mayhem says, they made an epic goof. I'm going to fucking quit this show, I swear to God.
No, just sad trombone it in your head and move on.
All right. Anything else to say about this sale? So you did take advantage of it.
I did take advantage of it. And I was going to purchase another game, but I didn't really want any of the Quadratic Dream games. I was like, I would have picked up Borderlands. I would have pre-ordered that. I said pre-order.
I know, but then that totally, like, considering how much games rely on that release week sales, like, to devalue that release week, that would have been horrible. So I understand why Borderlands 3 is not participating in that. I totally understand that.
Very convenient.
All right, SG100 Matt, saying don't quit. How about this? We'll make an agreement. I'm going to quit for 1 week. I quit for 1 week. I'm not coming back next week.
But the week after.
The week after, I'll be here. All right. Moving on. Something that maybe I would quit OLR to go play. No, just kidding. I wouldn't, because I don't know how I feel about this. I'm very much of two schools of thought about this, but it is the World of Warcraft Classic. So I was playing World of Warcraft in the vanilla day. I didn't play long. I played much more in the Burning Crusade days. I even was raiding in those days with some local friends and all that stuff. But in the vanilla WoW, I played like a little bit of it. And then, of course, I played most of the expansions until I kind of left for Final Fantasy XIV. And then I check in on WoW once in a while. WoW's the one I like to visit once in a while, have a fling with here and there. But World of Warcraft Classic will be there for you to experience the World of Warcraft in the vanilla mode or the 1.0 mode. Or actually, specifically, I think it's 1.2.2 mode, I think, is the... Sorry, I may have the version number wrong. But it's one of the later patches in vanilla that I think incorporates Encourage and things like that. But anyway, the release date came out this week. It will be out on August 26th. That's the big day. The UK is also, that's the day, and that's the day in the Americas. Some of the other regions, just the way the time zones work, it'll actually be August 27th. If you subscribe to World of Warcraft, you are also automatically subscribed to this, basically. It's no extra cost. So this is included with a WoW subscription. So if you want to pay your subscription to play Classic WoW, if you're one of those people that's like, well, I hate that newfangled WoW.
Leveling all my weapons and my fists.
Back in my day, you had to level to 40 to get a mount. We liked it.
Or really, my only thing, I miss Baron's Chat.
Yeah. So, well, and just think, Baron's Chat will be back with this.
That's still not enough to make me play old WoW. Not enough to make
Baron's
me play old
Chat
WoW.
Baron's Chat is also not a good thing. I'm sorry.
No, it was kind of a cesspool.
It's like you're going to log into that chat.
What's Baron's Chat?
Okay, so there... Oh, it's so cute. You don't really play it well. Oh, you're so adorable. Okay, so Baron's Chat. The Barons was this zone.
It was huge.
The Horde zone. It was huge. So because it was such a huge zone and there were so many different like level characters that went through there, the general chat was just like a chat room, basically. And, you know, general chat is for you to like, hi, I'm looking for somebody to help me with this quest. Or who wants it? Because, again, in Vanilla WoW, there was no dungeon finder.
Yeah.
So... looking for two more for Wailing Caverns, mm-hmm. You know, things like that, right? So, you know,
and it really was big. It was easily the size of three zones.
Right. So Barons was such a huge zone that the chat room just turned into, just imagine an unmoderated general topic
old AOL.
IRC chat room. That's where your Chuck Norris jokes all came from, was Barons Chat and all that. So that's...
But with Cataclysm, they broke it into two zones.
Yes.
And with different level areas for each part.
Yeah, so Cataclysm kind of broke Barons Chat. In a way. But now it all went to trade chat because trade chat's across all zones.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like the garbagey chat isn't there like it used to be. I think in the cities are all linked together with their chat and that's where mm-hmm. you see it the most. But you
like
don't.
The local.
Yeah. People will get in there and argue politics in the general. But
it's usually why I just stay in guild chat, whether or not anyone's talking.
That's also why the first thing I do when my World of Warcraft account starts up, congrats, you have a new character. You have spawned / leave general. It's the first thing I do before I even press the key to move.
I'll keep it open for train wreck time, but other than that, yeah. I just redo all my windows.
Yeah. VidPower573 in chat says, Baron's Chat had so many in-jokes. Chuck Norris, Mankirk's wife. Oh, remember that? Because plot twist, she's dead, and she's really hard to find. So, like, multiple times an hour, somebody's yelling out in chat, where's Mankirk's wife? She's dead.
This was even before we had WoWhead, right?
Oh yeah. No, there
yeah,
was no
way
WoWhead.
Before WoWhead.
Because I don't know if mods were in Vanilla WoW. I can't remember. Maybe there wasn't as much strong of a mod community. So I don't know. Anyway. The Drums of War update from August 2006, that is the version that they're going to be using for this. And they're doing a whole, like, WoW 15th birthday with some in-game events. And there's a $100 15th anniversary collector's edition of the game if you want. So you want to spend $100 on WoW?
No.
You'll get a 10-inch Ragnarok statue for that. A pin, a mouse pad, and some art. Yay, art.
Whatever.
So Also of note, and this is cracking me up, so because there is a beta going on, you have people filing bug reports. And unfortunately, not everybody's memory is really working the same way, because people are filing bug reports for things that were actually features in WoW 1.0.
Like what?
So, for example, actually, I'm glad you asked, because Blizzard made what's called a blue post. That means an official Blizzard team member went on the forums and made a post saying, as we've discussed before, the nature of WoW Classic sometimes invokes different memories for different players. And this leads to certain misconceptions for some about what is or isn't working as intended. The following is a list of commonly reported gameplay in WoW Classic that is not actually a bug and working as we expect it to. Tauren's hitboxes and their melee reach is larger than other races. Tauren are the big cow people, so
Moo.
Obviously they're bigger. Being critically struck while using slash sit to sit does not cause abilities like Enrage, Blood Craze, and Reckoning to activate. Warrior health regeneration is working at the expected rate. Feared players and NPCs run fast. Standing on top of other players while facing away allows spells and attacks to be used. I'm trying to find other ones that are... Oh, quests that are too low level do not show up as an exclamation point in the game world.
They just didn't...
Available quests do not display an exclamation on the minimap. That was a thing they added way later in the game.
Like, either they never played vanilla, or they just don't remember.
On level up, the message, your skill in protection increased to 15, was added in 1.12.1, and we're intending to keep that. We appreciate all of your feedback. I'm sorry that this is really funny. Because it just also goes on to show, like, how many people were like, fuck yeah, WoW Classic. Yeah, WoW Classic. I want to play World of Warcraft Classic. And then they forget, like, WoW Classic, like, had no quality of life improvements. None. Zero.
Me here. You don't know shit.
Have fun with that. So, I don't know. There's a part of me that, like, it'll be fun for a minute. And then there's another part of me that's like, but why? Why did they spend all this time perfecting this? They went back and made this compatible with the 16:9 resolutions and all that stuff, and went back to make sure it works on the modern PCs and all that. It's kind of like, why did they spend the time doing that when they could have, like, I don't know, made the current WoW better? It's just, I don't know. Whatever. I wish them luck. I'll be curious to see how many people are playing, because you're going to have to pay to play it. So I'll be curious how many people will do that. I'll be very, very curious how many people are on those servers. In the meantime, Darksakura, you have some relatively big news for us this week.
Yep. Basically, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. No, I'm kidding. Microsoft and Sony are going to team up and have an AI cloud baby. It might be monstrous. We don't know. So they are actually going to be working together. And yes, both sides have admitted that they've worked together in the past, but are also still rivals in some areas. That's just the way big...
Oh my God, is Microsoft putting Halo on the PlayStation 5? Because that's what I heard on Twitter when somebody put this story. Microsoft and Sony are working together? Oh my God.
Way to assume. You know what happens when you assume? You become an asshole. I'm sorry. That's how I'm going to say it from now on. You become an asshole. Anyway, Microsoft has their Azure Cloud Service. It's a computing platform. And so Microsoft and Sony are going to both be using it. It's to support game content, digital content, streaming services. And the kind of speculation about this is that Sony is going to be using this for development of AI. And using their sensors and chips in the Microsoft cloud systems, as in their local servers and computers that run it, to better make cloud work, rain things better, or more betterer. Anyway, it's going to cloud stuff better. Yeah, there we go. And then he'll have better hair. So at any rate, And the quote from Yoshida Kenichiro, who is Sony's CEO, says, quote, "For many years, Microsoft has been a key business partner for us, though, of course, the two companies have also been competing in some areas. I believe that our joint development of future cloud solutions will contribute greatly to the advancement of interactive content," end quote. And basically their goal for Sony is to evolve the PlayStation, the platform of the PlayStation, into one that uses internet cloud services for better entertainment at any time, any place. So they're looking to make it, I don't know if we're, that might be a hint at another handheld, or, I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But it could also be that maybe Nintendo has set the bar with a, with what they did with a Switch. That maybe Sony might take.
Sorry, maybe I shouldn't be so quick to dismiss handhelds, but because after all, a lot of cloud gaming is including handhelds, so maybe I shouldn't be so quick to dismiss that. But I don't think that's the ultimate focus or ultimate goal. That will be more a side effect, if I may.
Well, and of course, part of me also wonders if maybe this venture might be something to counteract Stadia.
Well, you know, it's funny because Nifty 805 in our chat brings up the same question there. I wonder if it's a response to Google's upcoming cloud service. I don't think it's a response so much as it is the entire industry trying to read the tea leaves on where is this industry going. And I think Google has kind of shown their hand first. And now we're getting a little insight. We're getting a little peek as to what cards Microsoft and Sony are holding. And the joke is they're actually working together in some regards. This doesn't mean Halo is going to be on the next PlayStation. That's not like where this is going. This is more, and this isn't even about the PlayStation 5. I think one way I kind of put this on Twitter is that it isn't about the PlayStation 5 so much as it is where is gaming going to be in 2025.
Well, and on top of this too, they haven't said anything about rivaling what Stadia is going to offer. So
it's too soon. We don't really know what Stadia is offering, to be fair.
And honestly, I think that it's wise to come out with what they have because it seems very non-reactionary. You know, there's some places who are like, oh, I'm losing my shit. Here's big knee-jerk reaction. We have to combat this now without looking long-term. And I think in this case, sometimes rivals can come together for mutual self-preservation. That makes sense? You know, something that even though they are in competition in some fields, overall it will benefit the both of them better if only humans could do that. Politics. But still.
Going to chat for some other comments because Kaijudo in chat says, if games go streaming only, I'm out. You know, I don't want to say, you know, pack your bags, but I think you have many years. I think, again, this is a lot of tea leaf reading. For many years down the line. This is not something I think that's going to affect right away anyway the next generation of games. The fact maybe that Sony is looking to partner with Microsoft's cloud services as opposed to, say, Amazon's or another, you know, building their own, I suppose that is an interesting feature. That could have some type of effect on PlayStation 5. But as far as, like, gaming going completely into the cloud, I don't think we're there yet. But it's, as we talked about, you know, a lot of parallels to when we had this show right after Google made their announcement about Stadia. You know, I think in many ways, I don't want to retread that ground too much, but I think in many ways, just like the movie industry has very much gone to this Netflix, Disney, Hulu, CBS, NBC.
Disney took over Hulu now, didn't they?
I know, right? But yet they're keeping it separate services. What? You know, I wonder how long that's going to last. But anyway, that whole point aside, I want to get into the movie talk. But you can kind of see that when the industry's kind of going there for that direction, that gaming could be looking at a similar future. Now, I mean, does that mean that the need for physical media is going to be gone forever? Not necessarily. I mean, Blu-rays are still a thing for collectibles. Going to see a movie at a theater is still a thing. But even in the theater, do you know how much of that is kind of cloud-based theater? I know that sounds really weird, but do you know how, like, movies are kind of, like, downloaded, basically, to projectors? That's kind of how things work now to avoid getting leaked early. And also, I mean, the whole, you guys know, like, the Fathom events thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the hell do you think that is? That's
it's witchcraft is what it is.
it's
although
movie theaters in the cloud, right? It's the cloud is all it is just like it's the internet right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
and so with the Fathom events, let's say they're doing a night of the, or what do? They do the
opera, the classic, yeah,
they do the opera stuff.
Well, yeah, and I went and saw Karate Kid a few weeks ago, and we saw Ghostbusters last year, and
so they show like an interview with the celebrities beforehand, right? So that's beaming out of some theater in Los Angeles, and it's beaming into all these movie theaters.
Well, it's like I flat out asked someone, he's like, I don't trust the cloud thing. What about the internet? Do you trust that? Well, yeah, same thing. Really the same thing.
And Kaijuda says, stream it as an alternative is fine. Do what you want. But once I can't buy a game CD or buy a game digitally, I'm out. And I, you know, I think it's too early to say, you know, will...
You're never not going to be able to buy a game. It's just, it's going to be...
In the indies, I think, will always kind of still have that market,
because if
too.
It's not working, if not everyone's going to do it, not everyone's going to... There's not going to be all of a sudden the law says, sorry, this is the only way you can release games now. You can't do it any other way.
Yeah, so I think as far as Kaijudo, as far as your statement goes, which I'm sure you're not alone in what you're thinking there, is that it is nice to, when you pay $60 for something, have something physical in your hand that you can touch. Like that, I get that. That is nice to have, right? Because in this day and age, we've heard too much of, you bought something digitally and then poof, the game went away, as did your money. Poof, it's gone. Mm-hmm. It evaporated into the cloud. Bye-bye. Yes, I get it. I mean, I get it. But... it's just going to be interesting to see kind of like where the industry sort of goes with that. But I think it'll be more like, you know, the AAA games. Or maybe using the cloud as a support. You know, maybe you still will have a physical disc, but the actual PlayStation 6, again, I'm totally like theorizing here, maybe uses the cloud to do some of the difficult computations. Who knows?
Yes, such difficult computations like Crackdown 3's multiplayer, which no one plays anymore.
Exactly. Let's see. YYR in chat says the cloud just means someone else's computer. Yeah, it's essentially. Or maybe like a bunch of supercomputers all tied together. But anyway. And the other good news is, Kaijudo, is that if you're a Nintendo fan, I guarantee you Nintendo will be last to the party on whatever this is. So if you're a Nintendo fan, you're going to have like just a built-in 5 more years before they go to it just by default. So you do have that. Okay, so enjoy it. Anyway, let's move on. Loki, what do you have for our next story? I'm sorry, we did get everything out that we wanted to say about that. Okay, just making sure. So I want to make sure we didn't tangent in the middle of the story. Loki, what do we have next?
So this is something that looks pretty awesome that I need to try. So you know how like they have all these wonderful Twitch streams that do different things with games, usually like with some more like viewer interactivity? So they have a new extension now called Crowd Control, which allows players to be able to interact with the streamer's games in different ways. So, for example, in Super Mario Bros. 3, you can spend a small number of bits to spawn items or enemies in the game. So, or you know, they may have it where that you can... do something with a randomizer or something to that effect. So there's a... Right now, they have the software controls several different games. So they have 12 games supported. Dark Souls, Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, Mega Man 4, Mega Man 8, Mega Man X, Pokemon Red and Blue, Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario Bros. 64, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Randomizer are all supported.
I kind of want to get in on this. This sounds really fun.
It does sound like fun.
Yeah, I love the interactive stuff on Twitch. That's what makes Twitch so much more exciting, which is why we invite you to participate with our show on Sunday nights. Which, by the way, I hate to tangent, but I have to say, I'm going to say it once. I don't derail a lot for this show, but apparently that show that we've been up against pretty regularly on Sunday nights just finished. I'm not going to spoil, but all apparently it's all over social media at this point, what's going on, because all I asked, I said, because I don't watch the show, I put, are people pissed at it like the last two episodes? Because, you know, the last two episodes weren't very well received. I said, are people pissed at it like the last two episodes? That's all I want to know. And Bobby says, yes. Questbuster says, yes.
Don't say anything.
I know, don't say anything. He's waiting for the butt.
I need to go see it at home.
That's all I wanted to know. Are people pissed off? Like, are we going to have days and days? Like, did Silky win Drag Race? Are we going to have that kind of meltdown going on?
I know the answer.
I know. I know those spoilers are out
I can't
there,
wait, because I know my expectations are so low. and I'm waiting to be disappointed, but I need to do that on my own time. I don't want it to be spoiled, because I want it to be like, really? Is that what they did?
Okay, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. I never derail for that, but I have to admit, coming into tonight's show, I knew we were up against that goddamn finale, and all I want to know is, are people going to be pissed at it? Like, is it going to be like a Sopranos kind of ending where people are fucking pissed at it?
They're already mad after the last episode.
But my thought was maybe it was going to just like, it was kind of like a couple subpar episodes because the finale is like, oh shit, like it was, you know, all set up for a finale.
I think it's more like, oh, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, now it sounds like, oh, they took a shit. That's too bad. That's
like, oh, we want to work on something else.
Maybe they should have waited for him to finish the book. That's too bad. All right, anyway, new topic, back to games. Sorry, back to Twitch.
Anyways, so yeah, that sounds really awesome. I've seen other things that like people have done, and I don't know if it's other extensions that they build, but I've seen one. There's a guy that does speed runs of like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas this way, where people are spawning in crap all over, and it's all sorts of crazy, but like he'll play that for like 8 hours or like several hours at a time, you know, with all this crazy shit going on at the same time, trying to play through the game with cars exploding and stuff. So yes, I want to watch this and I want to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to look into this when I get back from my trip, because I think this would be really good incentive for me to do more streaming on my personal channel too, which I admittedly have been slipping on a little bit. But I know we wanted to do some more stuff on our VOG channel too, just so we have more stuff outside of just Sundays and the hosting of Anime Jam Session on Tuesdays. We want to do, you know, some more content, so this might be fun.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. Well, moving on to a follow-up from I think it was last week's show when we talked about the big walkout that happened at Riot Games, where I think it was, about 150 employees kind of walked out, and Riot Games kind of had to play it off because they know the whole world's watching it. So it's cool. They can do the thing. They have the right. You know, we
support their decision to protest.
Well, an interesting kind of follow-up came up here is that Riot Games apparently, because I guess originally they said that as soon as current litigation was over, it would give new rioters the choice to opt out of mandatory arbitration for individual sexual harassment and sexual assault claims. And then they would determine from there whether that opt-out would apply to everyone and so forth. So here's what they've come out and said. So Riot said, put out a statement this week that said, ultimately, given the complexities of ongoing litigation, we will not change our employee agreements while in active litigation. We know not everyone agrees with this decision, but we also know everyone does want Riot to continue to improve. We remain committed to having a firm answer around extending an opt-out to all rioters when active litigation concludes. Everything we've heard will impact our discussions when we revisit arbitration, and we hope to have an answer that will be satisfying to everyone. At a minimum, we will give new rioters the option to opt out of arbitration on individual sexual harassment claims. So it sounds like some of those people protesting are not going to get one of the things that they were asking for there. So this might be the start of something, because there have been, you know, it was kind of mentioned in that walkout that if they don't, you know, kind of relent to some of the demands, this is going to escalate. They won't talk about what that escalation is, but I can certainly fantasize what some of that could be. I mean, we could talk about employees quitting en masse, starting a new company. I have a feeling, and this would be a tricky thing, but I think especially in the video game industry, I think one of the company's most valuable assets is its secrets. And I think what you're going to see happen, this is just a guess, but I think in the coming weeks, if employees don't start getting what they want, you're going to see some big expose. It's going to have to all be anonymous and stuff, but you're going to know about everything Riot's doing, because the employees are going to be demotivated and not wanting to like keep the secrets and stuff. They're going to start blabbing. And so we're going to start finding out what else has Riot been working on, what other heroes are under creation. Again, I don't know anything. I'm just thinking, what could escalation be? And I think that is certainly one place where if you tick off enough people that know your secrets and know what poker cards you're holding, that could be a dangerous game.
Well, the people are also the biggest asset. No company without the people who work for it. And a lot of companies have forgotten this. You know, if you invest in your employees and you make it a good place to work and you keep them happy and you get a return on your investment, you might put more in, but you get more back. You know, that's why I'm happy for where I work. They put a lot into us and they pay us great. And well, we're mostly pretty happy. You know, it's the same thing. If you are treating your employees like garbage, you're going to get garbage back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty lucky in the places where I've worked. And in my current job, I have a super understanding boss. If I have to take care of personal things or what have you, like, there's just really, like, I'm able to have an extreme work-life balance in what I do. Granted, I don't work in the gaming industry, but I have an amazing work-life balance. And I think that is one of the biggest keys to having happy employees, for sure. I do want to read some comments in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, regarding journalists, apparently CD Projekt Red reached out to Kotaku to get ahead of a crunch time story for Cyberpunk 2077. They're afraid of the expose. And I do remember seeing a story about how Cyberpunk and that development, they put out a statement basically saying that they are not going to be doing crunch, or that, like, there will be crunch time, but it really will be voluntary, and this is how they're going to make sure that people are not penalized if they're not able to work it, or it's only during certain times. You know, they basically, yeah, they tried to kind of put out a statement on what they say crunch time is going to be before there's an expose about what it's been in the past, sort of thing. It's very interesting how this is affecting all these different gaming companies. It's not just Riot. Well,
if you feel guilty about the practice, maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, I think it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes from here. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's going to escalate from here. I mean, don't get me – I'm not celebrating that. But it's going to be interesting to see what consequences this has, not just for Riot Games, but for the industry. So, you know, we're all keeping our eyes on that. So, that being said, let's move on to our next story, Dark Sakura.
Well, this – now, I'm going to specify this is information coming from the World Health Organization, or WHO. Anyway, video game addiction is possibly going to be recognized as an official disease by the World Health Organization. They're actually going to be voting on it this upcoming week. And it comes from a body of evidence showing that young gamers face psychological distress as a result of playing games and getting hooked on them, or addictive behavior. Because, I mean, and I'll put it this way, it's the same as with any drug or any activity that produces a chemical effect in the body. The same goes for gambling. You know, anything that does that nice little serotonin dopamine release in the body and makes you feel good about it, people can become addicted to that feeling and keep doing the activities that generate that, right? And so when you are removing that from your life, you are going through very real chemical withdrawal. End of story. It's not all in your head. Your body's chemicals are making this shit happen. That's why some people are more prone to addiction than others. But there's studies that say, show MRI scans that show a link between a depression and video game addiction. The same way that people react to drug abuse or alcoholism. And They were saying that WHO made a decision to put video gaming as a mental disorder as part of their 11th revision of international classification diseases, which I don't agree with, but they listed it as a disorder, as a pattern of gaming behavior characterized by impaired control over gaming, where basically they're putting their priority on gaming as opposed to other activities. We've heard of the WoW Widows, right? You know.
Oh, yeah.
And people who...
my pal Arya Snark says she was one. That, and she said my boyfriend wouldn't go out with me because he was, quote, storming the castle.
Mm. Well, at any rate, so there actually is an it's NHS National Health Service UK actually has now it's funding a game addiction center for children to seek treatment. And I mean, and there are people who will admit that, yeah, they were gaming addicts, that their life fell apart, you know, and that they had to seek help, you know. But the same also goes, it's the same as gambling addiction. It's the same as being addicted to a drug. You know, it's not in your head. Like I said, it rhyme. It is a true disorder. It is your body reacting in a chemical manner to either an activity or a substance that you are putting in it. You become addicted to the feeling. And in some cases, you know, once you're used to having produce these level of chemicals in your body, of course, you're going to need to continue the activity to continue producing these chemicals. Also the same, did you know love produces the same addictive quality? And that's where the term 7-year itch comes from. Mm-hmm. That on average for people find that those chemicals...
There's a lot of things you can get addicted to. Sex is one of them.
No, not me.
Well, I know, but there's like David Duchovny, I believe, was a famous actor that, you know, went to rehab for sex addiction. Like, it's a thing that can, you know, all these, you can get addicted to a lot of things.
Oh, food. Food's another good one because, again, you're getting a hormonal release from it. But at any rate, I mean, I'm glad that they are doing this. I really am. Because that means that we'll have a hopefully better, you know, implements out there to help people deal with these things. I mean, like, I know Microsoft put out something that said they were trying to put more parental controls in. One thing I was really happy about is there are, like, for computers now, more parental controls that also limit how much time. It's like the screen time thing on the iPhone. You know, you can limit how much time someone is using the device. You know, for kids who are like, no, I want to play all the Fortnite ever, as an example. But at the same time, it sets a control and gives time for a calm down. And I really do think it goes back to everything in moderation. But there are some people who cannot self-moderate.
Yeah. No, and, you know, as much as you might think I'm going to sit here and argue because I'm a gaming enthusiast that, oh, this is just them trying to shame the industry and all this stuff. No, I mean, video game addiction, that can be a real thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we recognize that.
It's activity addiction.
There's a lot of things that you can get addicted to in the world, and video games can certainly be one of them. I mean, there's been times in my life where I've even kind of looked and went, whoa, guy, you need to pull it back on some of these games. Like, you're playing this game way too much.
Right.
You know? In some ways, like Pokemon Go and Ingress in those games. You know, mm-hmm. I used to play a lot of Ingress, but then I kind of recognized, like, I definitely had that, what does it fucking matter moment, you know? Yeah. And I scaled it way back.
Yeah, that's exactly it, is that, you know, it takes a turnaround in your own head to recognize that there's a problem, right? And the moment that you do, the moment that you see it, and sometimes you need someone else helping you to point it out to you, or another little trigger that says, hey, look, you've been playing... let me think of something else a lot of people are playing.
Fortnite.
Okay, Fortnite again. You've been playing Fortnite for 11 hours. Maybe it's time to... It's the cat paw. Stop posting. Stop playing. You know, it's just...
Speaking of the cat paw, I saw Mr. Smush was...
He's got his foot in the air. He's been
just off cam right now. But
he's doing the booty licks.
Relaxing, yeah.
But at any rate, you know, there comes a point where if you can't do it for yourself... someone's going to have to do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's good that this decision is being made, that there's going to be literature that goes out. You know, the one thing is that you can be a fan of something and still take a very critical eye to it. In fact, I think that's what makes a better fan.
I like to think that's what this show is.
Yeah.
When we're critical of things,
girl,
it's
because it's
us. We care. Yeah, it's us.
But anyway, but my thought about it is like, you know, for example, I'm going to use David Bowie, okay? David Bowie, amazing, amazing artist. Such a visionary, right? But he also slept with an underage girl. We can look at that problematic behavior and still recognize that he was a creative genius. You know? We can do that. That is what I think makes the truest of fans, is when you're not... just accepting everything blindly, like religion. It's good when you can follow a religion and still take a critical eye toward it. That way you make it better. Same with video games. Same with anything. And I really, that's why I'm glad about this. I really am glad about it. You know, I'm going to go into a rant on this one because, like, for, you know, for example, you know, I'm active in our local LGBT community. I support them. I do a lot of work. And I can still point out the rampant misogyny going on in the community right now.
Oh, sure. Oh, my God. Like, and one thing maybe you haven't seen, but I've certainly seen firsthand. Like, if you go on to, like, meeting people on gay apps, like, you know, the Grinders, the Scruffs, things of that world,
mm-hmm.
you see, like, racism, you know, gender.
No fats, phobia. No femmes, no Asians.
Oh, absolutely. That's a real thing. That's not, like, just some things a queen said on Drag Race. They said that because that is a thing people will put on their profiles. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, you know, please no black guys.
Or,
like, what the hell is that?
Or don't be HIV positive.
Yeah,
that's another big one. It's discriminatory.
A clean guys only.
Yeah.
As if HIV is
you know
a dirty thing.
Those people are fucking bigots, yeah, and I will call them out on it.
It sucks, you know? And maybe, well, I don't, there, I would, maybe I'm being too nice. I don't know, but I would say that as a person doing a bigoted thing, that I would say probably 95% of those people you kind of educate, like, you know, when you say that, it comes off asshole.
Would a non-bigoted person say that?
Exactly. Would a, you know, and then you kind of point out, you know, the behavior of 95% of people, I bet, would say, oh, fuck, that's not what I meant, like, at all. And they're going to change that. There's going to be the 5% that are just fucking
up
their own ass, and they're never, and that's, literally, and they're not going to change.
And that's why I am a very public feminist in queer spaces, because this attention is needed. And I feel the same way. You know, anything that I love, I'm going to work to try to make it better. And so I know people be like, oh, well, if you support this thing, then you don't love video games. And like, no, I do it because I love video games and I want them to continue to be safe and fun for everybody.
Can I give one other example? I know it's a little bit off topic, but I do think it's important. Like, talking about like the misogyny in gay culture. So have you ever heard of like a gold star gay? You know what a gold star gay is?
Mm.
A gold star gay is a gay that was born by C-section.
Oh, because didn't come out of a vagina.
Uh-huh. So, you know. Isn't that stupid?
You yeah, know, I know that term now. Yeah,
right, right. And now that you hear that, and then when you hear what it really is, it's like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard,
well, and
right?
And people also treat cisgender male as the default in language. There's a book I've been reading by an Australian scholar named Dale Spender.
Mm-hmm.
She's named Dale Spender, by the way, called Man-Made Language, where language is used in a certain way, but anything that goes towards women are automatically considered non-standard, different, negative, like the word spinster, for an example, started from a woman who went to work for herself spinning. Now it's got this negative connotation of this woman unmarried who's never had babies or whatever. You know, just an example of that. But we look at being this one way as the default.
So even
anyway, I'm sorry.
I think,
I'm going
off. And I think it's important to point out that even within minorities, in this case we're talking about, you know, with sexuality and sexual identity, even within those types of cultures, you can have issues that need to be worked on. It's not it's not just a cis white man problem. I mean, don't get us wrong, there's lots of problems there too, but it's a everybody problem.
I had a gay man grab my boob and says, it's okay, I'm gay. No, it's not. It's you not. Touched me without my permission. Yeah. And I hope you like my elbow in your gut.
Sorry, I'm laughing at your
response. If anyone grabs me without my permission, I look at that as explicit permission for me to counter grab painfully. Just saying. You know, but anyway, you know, the other thing too, like with Alabama, I love my home state. I'm glad I grew up there, but it's fucking terrible what's going on. And I am pissed. And I am going to be part of the uterine underground.
Let me,
Before
we get off the rails too much, no, I want to get into our next story in our classic game of the week. But Bob Coffey asked an important question in chat that I think a lot of people don't know. So let's, out of a place of love, let's educate.
What's a cisgender?
What is a cisgender male anyway? It just means, probably you, I'm going to guess.
You were assigned male at birth and maintained being male.
Yeah.
Or female at birth and maintained being male. It's the opposite of transgender.
That's it. So.
And for before people say that's a made up term, I'm sorry, they're both Latin.
Yeah.
So it's
no, it's not made up. Anyhow.
Oh, and and Pixel Pacus also said born. Oh no, never mind. It's because I said male anyway. But yeah. So, but it would mean you associate with the gender you were assigned at birth,
which is, to be fair, most people.
Yeah.
And that doesn't. But that doesn't mean if you're not one of those people, it's bad. It's just different.
And And you can use that privilege that you have to help the people who do not have that privilege.
All right. Anyway,
sorry. I knew this talked about video game addiction.
Soapbox 101. Yes, I know. No, it's important.
But it also though,
it's
goes,
about our lives, too.
But it also goes back to supporting the things you love in a constructive manner.
Yeah. So. You and I deal with this stuff all the time. Me as a gay guy. You as someone who has talked about your asexuality on the show and the assumptions that people make with that. Like, it's a, you know, a big deal. So, anyway. Let's move on, though.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Bones 006 says, I find it funny that a gay male or female can grab and touch the other gender and claim it's okay because I am gay. It is not okay. It is never okay. And you see that happen, you call it the fuck out.
Yeah. No, it's... Do you remember on... Okay, so you guys know I'm a reality TV nerd, right? So I like shows like Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be doing an all winners edition. Season 40 is coming up where all the winners are going to be, like some of the winners are going to be asked back to play, but not all of them got asked back. And one of the winners, apparently, if spoilers are to be believed, did not get asked back, is the original winner, Richard Hatch.
Mm.
And some people were wondering, why was he not asked back? And somebody very eloquently pointed out on Reddit, do you remember when he came back for All Stars? And he's a gay guy, by the way. When he came back on All Stars, he did a challenge naked and rubbed his parts against a woman to throw her off her game. So,
oh my God.
Right? So that's
disgusting.
Right. That is the reason he was not asked back. Duh.
Because he's a disgusting person.
Yeah. It was not a nice thing.
No, so. Anyone who does something like that without consent, you are immediately the scum of the earth.
Right. And
sorry.
SSG 100 Matt says, I forgot about that. A lot of people did because All Stars was on in what, like 2004? It was a long time ago because what, Survivor started in what, 2000? I think the first All Star season was like 2003, 2004. We weren't talking about this shit then. But thanks to, you know, the Me Too movement and things like that, we're talking about it more now. You know, the show dealt with it in its own way back then.
Well, I did with all the people who said that I need to stop talking and go back to the kitchen. Guess who's still here 17 years later, bitches?
Right.
You know what? I may not have as much left to my ass as I did when I started, but y'all can bite it.
All right.
Unless, you know, you have to ask first.
Let's move on. Let's move on. There's plenty more to talk about. Loki, let's talk about Pokemon. Pokemon, games, Pokemon, Pokemon's game.
Yes. So Pokemon Rumble Rush is a game that's going to be coming to iOS and Android soon. Yeah. And right now the official Japanese site says it's coming soon, but apparently other regions have the game is coming out in those areas as well. And there's even a description on the Google Play Store talking about, you know, enjoy fast-paced gameplay on the go. And they talk about the different Pokemon you can upgrade and explore areas and stuff like that. I've never played Pokemon Rumble. Isn't that the one that has the toy? That's basically the toy Pokemon or something.
Yeah,
like that?
It's like the kind of blocky ones, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they had. Well, there was that one too. Yeah, they kind of look like little toys, I guess, if I remember correctly. But
so we kind of had heard rumblings about this like last week, right? Because didn't we hear that?
That there was a new game. I don't know if this is the other game that's being made by that one company.
Or another game.
Or another, yes, exactly. Or a different game altogether. So I don't know. Because I would think it's weird that, like, we're announcing this partnership that we're going to make this game, and then, like, the very next week, we're going to announce the game. I mean, you'd think you would just wait the week and announce the game. But we'll have to wait and see if there's anything else that's coming. But I don't know. I'll check it out. I'm assuming it's going to be free.
Yeah. So, yeah, I you know, the free to start is always a good way to sample a
game. I was, like, really into that other Pokemon game for a while. I don't remember what it was on the Switch, and then it was also on Android as well. And I played that quite a bit, but then I stopped because I got bored with it.
Shane is in our chat, Shad, saying Pokemon Rush is out in, like, Australia. It's kind of like a Diablo and Skylanders just killed tons and tons of enemies. Rumble has always been a fun game, though.
Well, that sounds just like the
well, the Australia, New Zealand people get all the cool mobile phone games.
Well, what's the other Pokemon? Because there's the other Pokemon game that you have like a group of Pokemon and you go and just kill enemies and stuff.
Yeah, it was on like 3DS. It was like a Diablo-esque type of game.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like there was one that was on the Switch. It was a Pokemon game, and they also have it on Android and iOS now. But I don't remember what it's called. It was like the QB, like.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, and I forget.
But this
the name
is like
too.
Different, but the same.
Yeah,
I guess.
No. All right. Oh, Pokemon Quest, says Frodo Swag.
Yes. Pokemon Quest.
Thank you, chat. This is why we love having a live chat, because they can fact check us live on air. Sometimes it's annoying, admittedly, but at the same time, you know what? It keeps us real. So what can we do? All right, let's move on. And before we get to our classic soundtrack of the month, because we're almost out of time in May, with this being our last show in May, believe it or not, we got to get the soundtrack. But before we do, I got one more story, and it's about Netflix, which I brought up earlier in the show. But, you know, Netflix, they not only have lots and lots of new shows, I keep seeing ads for new shows, but they're kind of getting into gaming as well. In fact, we know that a Stranger Things game is on the way. That's not news. That has already been out there. We knew that a Stranger Things game was coming out around the time that season 3 starts in July. But apparently, because brands are hip and cool on Twitter now and they interact with each other on social media, which is weird, but due to a recent social media interaction where E3 replied to Netflix saying, "Sounds great. Can we get a hint about the game?" Netflix replied saying, "Of course there's the upcoming Stranger Things game, but there's definitely more to come." So it seems like Netflix could be unveiling other games.
I would love like if they're like, "Can we get a hint about the new game?" They're like, "No, fuck off."
If the brands responded that way.
It's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. No, so who knows what Netflix might be working on. Maybe a Black Mirror video game. That would be pretty rad, actually. I'd be so... As much as it would probably terrify me, like, I'd be into that. Or...
Well, they have the new season, which is like 3 fucking episodes coming.
Yeah, but then...
That's 3 episodes. Come on.
Yeah, but there was that Bandersnatch thing, too, which was kind of a game. A very, very rudimentary, but yes. I mean, in some ways. I'm trying to think what else on Netflix would kind of lend itself to being game. Maybe Nailed It, the home version. Why not? We had all those like.
We have that. They have like they seriously have like a cooking simulator game that's like VR that is basically Nailed It, the video game. You can like actually set fire to the kitchen if you're not.
I just want a game where Nicole Byer narrates my life. What is he doing? I can't believe he's fucking that up again. I just want a game where she narrates my life because I love it.
I want like an adult version, not like, you know, but like an adult language version of like one of those cooking shows. Like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
So you want Hell's Kitchen Uncensored?
Yes. Yes. But like that's with just other people, you know, making cakes, you know, something that's very like. You know, shouldn't be something that people are getting super mad over, but they are getting super mad over it.
As this Joe and Hunter Matt says, Overcooked can end up being like Nailed It. Mm-hmm. Hey, who knows? That's my vote for Netflix show I'd like to see a game made out of. All right. Anyway, let's go. You know what? Let's go back to a simpler time. We're going to go back to a time when, video games were not based on streaming technology because you know how you watch movies and shows? You rented them on VHS from Blockbuster. It's the classic game of the week segment, but once a month, Dark Soccer says, you know what, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. And instead of doing a whole game, I want to talk about a soundtrack. I want to focus. I want to spotlight on a soundtrack. And I believe the rule was in 2019, she's going to be focusing on 8-bit soundtracks specifically.
I am.
And let's see, in January we had a Nintendo game. We had a Nintendo game in February, Nintendo game in March. So what Nintendo game did you do this month?
I didn't.
La gasp.
And in fact, next month's also will not be.
I see. All right. Well, then what did you pick for the classic soundtrack of the month?
Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, which actually is, I'd say, pretty, you know, timely. We've had other Wonder Boy, we've had that Wonder Boy re-release of this game that had very good versions of the music.
That was really like one of my favorite retro re-releases they've done. They did such a good job with that.
Well, at any rate, the music designer for this was Sakamoto Shinichi, who actually spent a lot of time working for Westone, and he also helped program NMK's NES sound driver and programmed his own. Right now he's doing audio for smartphone games, just saying, but he has worked on a lot of great music, a lot of great games. There was Star Force, of course, Wonder Boy and Monster Land, Bikuriman World for PC Engine. He's done other Wonder Boy games. He's actually done several Wonder Boy games. Dragon's Curse, you know, just all kinds of really neat games. But at any rate, the music for this game really stands out with it because it was really one of the outstanding, things with this game. When the Games Machine did their... I'm sorry, not the Games Machine. Rays actually did a review of this. They noted that the music was worth listening through headphones. And, of course, the music was referred to as incredibly addictive by other places. It really has been that the music for this game fit the play so well that the two could not go without each other. And I think that one of the selections that I had chosen to play back was the FM soundtrack. This is definitely one of those games that had... And for people who don't know this, which I don't know how you couldn't know this, but Master System in Japan had another sound processor that was their FM sound processor. And so they had basically better soundtracks for the games, more channels to play the music through, where what we got for the Master System over here was just kind of dinky. It wasn't bad, just kind of dinky. But, and of course, if you were playing through a power-based converter, then it wouldn't play games in FM sound. There are, of course, third-party power-based converters now that will play in FM sound. We have one, but Monster Boy, this particular game was not one that works in one of those FM compatible power-based converters. You have to play it on an FM capable machine. So at any rate, you know, this is also, I would even go on record saying that this is probably some of the pinnacle of Master System game music right here. This is really one of the games that set apart what soundtracks could be like on the Master System.
And I do want to point out, because the chat room was kind of discussing, wait a minute, wasn't this on the TurboGrafx-16?
Yes.
Is that really 8-bit? But we're talking about the Master System.
I'm talking about
now.
The Master System.
That's the gameplay you're seeing too. And let's be real, this game has been remade so many times that, like you just said, it's on damn near everything.
It's the same. It's the same designer did the PC Engine music, by the way. He did it for all of these versions of the games and the subsequent one, which was, I think, Wonder Boy in Monster... No, that was the prequel to this, Wonder Boy in Monster Land, and then we had The Dragon's Trap. But at any rate, that's all I can say is that it's got a really stellar soundtrack to it. Definitely something that I've just sat and listened to before because it was good. I've done that with, you know, for me to sit and actually listen to the soundtrack all the way through, I really have to like every piece of it. And this is one of the ones that I do. So that's your classic soundtrack.
All right. And good choice, because you know, Wonder Boy 3 again is one of those games you can kind of go back and enjoy, not just on the TurboGrafx-16, but on, you know, basically all the modern day systems with the thanks to the remake.
Look how pretty it is too. The graphics were amazing, and
first time, especially because like a lot of Sega Master Systems games didn't look great, you know, but this one looks really good.
Although one thing I do like about the Master System is they had a better pastel palette than the NES did.
Mm-hmm.
NES was aimed a little bit more toward primary colors. Master System, like Fantasy Zone on Master System, is I think better than Fantasy Zone on NES. That's it.
Well, there it is, your classic soundtrack of the month for Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap on the Sega Master System.
To add one thing for Dark Tetsuya, he says that the new game has the old visuals and music. Yes, but apart from that, not only does it have the Master System music that people in the U.S. remember, it has FM sound in it as well.
But it also is a little deceiving because it also is kind of like built for widescreen when the original game wasn't. So it is cheating a little bit, but honestly,
well, it's remade though with the old style graphics.
And I don't mind that at all, honestly. Like, I would love to go back and play a lot of old retro games, like just kind of like rebuilt for modern TVs.
And there's people who complain about the retooling of the soundtrack for the, you know, the newer version.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
So whatever. Stop complaining. I know, just because you thought something was old was better, but look at WoW.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We're going to go to a pre-recorded segment that talks a little bit about Excitebike Versus, a new release that came out just this past week on the Nintendo NES Online for Nintendo Switch. Hey, everybody. So for our OLR break segment this week, we're back on the classic Nintendo Entertainment System Online Library available on the Nintendo Switch to take a look at this month's game releases, which included a classic game of the week from just a couple weeks ago. Clue Land is in here, as well as Donkey Kong Jr., a special version of Star Soldier that starts you at the last level, because Star Soldier was one of last month's releases. And then we have Versus Excitebike, which is kind of the interesting release I wanted to talk about for this month, because, you know, this isn't the first time that we've seen a Japanese-only game cross over into the North American Switch releases for the Nintendo system, because we had that last month with Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, which, as we know, was really just Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan. So that's, you know, what it was released as. It's just basically the Super Mario Brothers 2 Japanese ROM, but released over here in North America as The Lost Levels, which was the branding that it had in Mario All-Stars back on the Super Nintendo, although, you know, it had the reskinning of the game at that point too. But anyway, Mario Lost Levels is so last month at this point, so what I really want to talk about is Versus Excitebike, because what makes this release interesting is that they could have just done regular Excite Bike as we knew it here in the U.S., which I believe was one of the original launch games for the Nintendo when it first came out. It was very soon after. It was one of those black pack releases, kind of like you see like this Clue Land over here. They all had that very unique art style. You guys kind of know the original NES releases. They didn't start looking very different until later on, which is why releases like Punch-Out, Kirby, and some of those later releases, you know, had their own unique box art, but it looked a little more, you know, all those NES games kind of looked the same, and Excite Bike was that way too. But Versus Excite Bike was a Japanese Famicom disc game, and you know that right off the bat because the little icon that looks like one of those little yellow discs, the little mascot, is right there in the upper left-hand corner. So that's how you know right off the bat that, hey, wait a minute, this is definitely a release. I mean, obviously the Japanese text as well, hello. But that's, you know, you kind of look at a few things there like, this is different. This is not the same release that we got in the U.S. So it is kind of interesting that we got Versus Excite Bike instead. So let's fire it up and take a look at it. Now, I'm sure one of the things that people remember if you ever played Excite Bike when it was released in the US is that you could create your own tracks, and there were options there for saving and loading, but they didn't really do anything. They didn't work because those options were obviously there for a Japanese release of the game that did allow you to save and load. And then, of course, Excite Bike came out in the arcades later on as the Versus system was kind of more of a different upgraded game. You can see right here the copyright, 1998. This was released later. And sure, there's an edit mode in here as well. And if we were to go into the edit mode, of course, we have to sit through loading screens now, which we weren't used to in the U.S. But we can actually go in and we can edit a particular track if we want. So let's say we want to edit, I don't know, we'll just edit track number 4 here. Okay, so it's already loaded in the system there. If I want to, I think, if I remember right, using the select button, yeah, we could just eliminate all of track 4. Screw it. Yep, that's all we got now as a finish. And if I want to make a track, and instead of, you'll notice in the original NES American release, it was A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, it shows you different letters, but this one actually shows you, you know, crappy little pictures of what you're about to put down. So if you're a big fan of these little flat hills like I am, maybe you just want to make a level that's filled with nothing but these little flat hills. And why not a couple arrows? You know, we might have to cool down the tank a little bit. And, I don't know. We'll do, the big flying ones. I love the flying ones. Oh, wait, we need a clear path here after the flying ones. Let's do, maybe we want to increase the number here. Let's do a nice big break. 4, 8 goes in only different powers there of 2. Let's try that again. Okay, good enough. I don't need to spend all day here looking at this track edit segment. But then you can actually run a test run, right? And we can race the bike. Just like you would, you know, with my slow and my fast. So, oh, yay, flat hills, my favorite. Let's go. I crashed. Okay, maybe they're not my favorite anymore. And then, all right, cool down. Then these are definitely my favorite. Woo! Ooh, I almost broke the ceiling on that one. Okay, I like that track because I almost hit the ceiling. So I can actually, let's see, I'm going to go back to the edit because if I hit continue, I'm just going to continue. But then I can actually save. And I can now save my track 4. So now track 4 is that. It's that track. So that's kind of neat. And then you can kind of pull tracks down and save into other people's discs and so forth because they got this whole disc edit thing in there and so forth. But then I think it's also worth talking about the game itself because the game itself, when you get into the Excite Bike on the release here from the Famicom version of the game, the disc system version of the game, is that it's more like the arcade release. So if you ever played Excite Bike in the arcade, you are really playing Versus Excite Bike, which was a little different. So let's actually go in and look here. So again, it's got to load because it's a disc game. When it comes up, you can choose. Am I beginner, intermediate, advanced? I'm going to pick Bobby Blackwolf mode and stick with beginner here. And you get this whole, oh, okay, it's interesting. You kind of see the different tracks twice. Okay, so what happens is that first you're going to race it with nobody else. So it's like a practice. So let's do this. So here I go, I'm racing. And what's interesting, well, for one, there's background music. There wasn't background music in the original Excite Bike. Also, if I hit the fast button, so like, you know how one button was just like a normal engine, but the other was like a fast engine? You actually don't hear that higher pitched squeal. You'll notice you're not hearing it. You do notice my temperature gauge is going up a lot faster when I use it. In fact, let me hammer down on that button. Yeah, there it is. Because it's not until you get way too high that you'll hear that higher pitch. Let me do it again. Okay, so it got a little, right before I crossed the finish line there, it got a little high pitch. You saw my character was flashing there as well. That's how you know that, you know, you're maybe lead footing on the heavy speed up gas a little too much. All right, so hooray, I qualified for the regular race. So now it's real Excite Bike. So we're going to be racing against other bikers. And if I want to come in number one, I got to get 1 minute and 18 seconds. So let's do it. We're going to race here, these other bikers. I can do it. All right, wow, they really took off. But the funny thing is, these other bikers, it's not like when you're playing Mario Kart and you're racing, like, actually, like, Mario and Princess Peach and stuff. These bikers, they're just there to get in your way. Because what it really comes down to is your time. Nothing else matters but your time. Although, you can screw with these other racers if you want. If you're able to kind of, like, change a lane right... there you go. See how I crashed that guy by changing a lane right on top of him? As long as you are in front of him. See, that one didn't work out so well. But as long as you're in front of him when you do it, then you crash him. And it's really satisfying. So let's see. Maybe, oops, I'm overheating here. I'm going too fast. What I try to do, I usually go the normal. And then, like, right before a hop, I'll hit the super accelerate. Oh, that didn't work out so well. I'm really out of practice on this, you guys. But hopefully... see, we really fly with the super heavy foot there. And almost to the end. Sadly, you can't run the people over as they're running to their bikes, as amazingly satisfactory as that would be. But, all right, we did it. And we got 107, which was enough for first place. And look at that. You even have like a winner's podium with five places, not three, like you usually see in the Olympics and stuff, but whatever. So you have like a five-person podium there. And congratulations! I got first place on track one and a really high-pitched wail to go with it. Sorry about that, but it's the game's fault, not mine. So now we can go on to track number two and race that way. But there you go. I wanted to show you a look at versus Excite Bike and how it's a little bit different from the regular Excite Bike that many of you grew up with and were used to. Unless you had access to the Famicom Disk System or you played this a lot in the arcade, you might not have seen this before. So, kind of a different release there on the Nintendo Entertainment System Classic Online Library, or Netflix. Let's call it Netflix for short, on the Nintendo Switch. Anyway, back to the studio live. All right, thank you, me, for that segment. Appreciate that. A little look there at Excite Bike Versus. So, Darksaga, did you ever play the Versus Excite Bike? I know you're a big retro person.
Back in the day?
Yeah, I remember playing it in the arcades, but, you know, I always kind of forgot, oh, yeah, in Japan, they got, like, this whole version of that released over there, so it's kind of neat. Anyway, for our next little segment here, one of our favorite contributors here at Orange Lounge Radio wanted to come onto the show tonight and actually talk to us about some things that are going on in his world, so we wanted to welcome him onto the show tonight. Hey, YYR, are you there with us?
I have my own world, really?
Yeah, well, I guess. Are the worlds of bungee ferret tossing and stacked Snake 360? Why can't it? Falling.
Are you suggesting a YYR cinematic universe?
Yes, is there a YYR cinematic universe?
I haven't really thought into it that much, to be honest.
Maybe someday. Maybe that's what we're slowly working towards, is a is a game that combines all your other pre-made games. See,
I'm here to speak to you about the Snake 360 initiative.
So what is on your mind tonight? What's new in your world, YYR?
Well, I mean, this whole time flies thing is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, here we are on episode 777 of the show, right?
Yeah.
And... Snake 360 came out in November of 2008. So it's been over 10 years now. So it's just, and let me tell you something.
It's
else.
Eligible for Classic Game of the Week.
Yes.
Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But
say
let me
no
tell
more.
You something else. You know how, and you know what? I have a feeling Loki will agree with me on this. You know how every parent, like, or so many parents say, well, they grow up so fast. I have an 11-month-old now. You believe it?
I know. In just another month, you'll no longer be referring to it in months because it will be years. It's so interesting. True. To your own child is so close to, you know, my good pal Melody, and she's married to Mel B, who a lot of the DDR folks from Freestyle Days
know. And they named their kid Mel.
They did not name their kid Mel, but their baby, I just went to the first birthday party last week.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're not that far apart.
I don't know. My 102-month-year-old, or month-old.
102-year-old, what?
102-month-old.
That's very funny. But no, it's like, I honestly believe you don't really see that until you have a child yourself, just how quickly, you know, it's like already there are things she used to do that she doesn't do anymore. And then it's scary. Like, she points at exit signs. She makes all kinds of babbles. She points at stop signs. She has strong preferences for certain things. Also, she's played a video game.
I was going to say, well, my friend, I won't be having kids ever, so I'll live vicariously through the rest of you.
You know what? I've talked to some people who are like, that's the best way, because it's like you get to hang out with your friends and you know, other people who have kids. You get to hang out with them. You get to spoil them. You get to, you know, spend time with them. And then you get to go home and it's somebody else's problem.
For the record, I'm 517 months old right now.
Well, happy birthday. All right. Anyway, sorry. Playing her first video game, huh?
So, you know what? I'll just skip to this because I have a list, but I'm going to skip to announcing Sharpshooter Plus. This is the first video game that my daughter Annie has played, because the previous version, it only allowed you to play with a game controller. And now the new version allows you to also play with your mouse, or if you have one connected, a touch screen. I just posted a link in chat to a video of the previous version, so feel free to put that up or do whatever with it.
Unlike Bobby, I can't do the YouTubes live because I don't have a dual monitor, so I'll just have to rely on the chatters to go look at that.
We should fix but that.
I know that is a future OLR upgrade. It's on the list.
Ooh. But yeah, Sharpshooter is basically it was actually one of my most popular games on 360. It is a straight up hardcore skills test. It is just you and 20 target shooting mini games, and you just, you know, try to do as well as you can, try for the highest score, try for the best grade. The ultimate goal of the game is to play the master difficulty and to get the highest grade of AAA. And it is absolutely not easy. And if you've been, you know, playing slow-paced RPGs or, you know, first-person shooters, and you've let those hardcore arcade gaming skills dull, you're going to have an uphill climb ahead of you.
So Dark Tetsuya in chat says, so sort of like Point Blank? I'd say
this is more like Police Trainer.
Or Hogan's Alley is the one that it kind of reminds me of.
Well, I mean, Police Trainer, let's face it. Police Trainer was basically Point Blank with not as good graphics or not as much imagination. But, I mean, I'll tell you this. Sharpshooter is basically my Point Blank, but it has even worse graphics than Police Trainer. That being said, It is a fun game. I wouldn't put it out if it wasn't. And I have spent a lot of time carefully tuning the difficulty. And for the mouse and the touchscreen input settings, the difficulty is tuned completely differently. So it is absolutely tailored to how you're playing it. And the difficulty also automatically adjusts as you're playing based on how you're doing. And the better you're doing, the more opportunities for score there are. So you're just going to want to hit everything, never miss, never fail, if you want the highest score.
Yeah, I got to admit, I do remember when you put this game out on Xbox Live, but I kind of, you know, I didn't get as into this one as some of your other releases because it was more controller, and that's kind of hard. That's a hard thing to emulate. So I think now that you got the mouse and keyboard as well as like the touch, that's a game changer. That's going to be like, oh, okay, like now I'm imagining playing this with mouse and keyboard. I am watching the video that you brought up. Imagine playing this with mouse and keyboard. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
And it's just mouse, by the way. You can put your keyboard away.
Right, of course, because you just click to fire. You don't necessarily have to hit the space bar or something. I don't know why.
Exactly.
By default, I always say mouse and keyboard. But of course, yes, just your mouse.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, too, because if you play on touchscreen, you would of course, think, well, I mean, since I don't have to aim and I can just tap the targets, that sounds really easy. Yeah, I thought of that. It is much more challenging when playing on touchscreen. The quotas are way higher. Things move a lot faster. It is so much fun. I had a lot of fun implementing and playing and testing this thing.
I am so excited to check this out. So I'm assuming your release platform is Steam, loading itself to the mouse,
it is.
Right?
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. All future YYR games releases on PC and Mac will be exclusive to Steam and will never be on the Epic Game Store.
All right. I'm sure that news I'm sure that news this week did them no favors in that regard.
I know. They're trembling in their boots right now, I would imagine.
Hey, I'm still rooting for you to get the development on the you know what that's coming out in the you know near future, 2020, and maybe people will care, you know, when they start discovering your brilliant games, because I still say super multitasking, like that game is so flipping good. Like, I don't know why it is not like a streamer's like go to. It's so fun.
Well, I am planning to try to put some more effort into promotion over the coming months, because honestly, I haven't done much with it.
Well, you've kind of had a baby.
That, yeah.
that'll get in the way, but in a good way.
I definitely am planning to do more as far as promotion. And part of that is I'm going to put together some videos. And the first of it is going to be a series of retrospectives about what I've been up to over the last 10 years. I actually was recording footage for some of these over the weekend. Let me tell you something. I took out my Commodore that I've had for over 30 years now, and I loaded up Gary Kitchen's Game Maker, which was my favorite thing on the Commodore 64. This thing was genius. It was way ahead of its time. Published by Activision in 1985, this thing had a built-in programming language, and you picked the commands from a menu rather than having to remember them. It had a built-in sprite creator, sound maker, music maker, and it lets you just kind of put everything all together. And let me tell you something, this thing was so much fun to use, but oh my God, I had no idea. I completely forgot about some of the absolute garbage that I created on that thing. And you will see some of the embarrassingness when I release the video. It'll be right on the front page of yyrgames.com if you're interested.
I can't wait. So you know the other question I have to ask, or I would be a terrible video game commentator. Do you have any idea what type of release window we're looking at for Sharpshooter Plus?
Oh, yeah. Early summer. I was hoping to have it out by this month, actually. But, you know, real life. So probably either late June or early July. But that's not it. I have one more release planned for this summer.
Oh, and that's not, wow. I feel like we're at an E3 fucking press conference right now. This is great. That's not all.
So I would love to announce Bungie Ferret Tossing 1.5.
Yay, our fave.
It is coming back. It's going to have improved graphics, and I mean, that's a low bar because the first one didn't look all that great. But now this time I have Amy with me, and she is much more of an artist than I, and she's going to be coaching me through improving the graphics somewhat. So expect more animation, and just things will look better. But I'm not going to stop at just the graphics. So who played Mars Matrix on either arcade or Dreamcast?
I have Mars Matrix on Dreamcast and have played a relatively okay amount of it.
I figured you would answer that. You did. So do you remember that Mars Matrix on Dreamcast had an arrange mode where basically you could, by playing the game, earn points and then spend them in an item shop to be able to unlock tweaks, and then
yes,
you could just kind of adjust the game however you wanted. You could make the combo timer longer, you could increase the speed of everything, you could just make all kinds of different tweaks. Well, I'm ripping a page out of that book, and that is going to be one of the major new features of Bungie Ferret Tossing 1.5.
Yes.
I'm going to call it Remix Mode, and you are going to be able to adjust literally 18 different things, from, you know, things that really affect the game, like what HP the enemies have and you have, to the speed of your helicopter, to absolutely ridiculous and silly things like the amount of blood particles, the gravity.
What about ferret shrieking?
Well, actually, that was already adjustable. you can make, if you go to the options menu, you can adjust how frequently
different shrieks.
Oh, well, I'll record some new shrieks just for you.
I think it would be funny to like be able to choose like high pitched or roar, you know.
You know, I'm watching this video.
Pitch.
I'm watching this video that you put in chat of Hitstun getting like a high score in the game, and you know, I have to admit it's been a little while since I've kind of really, you know, because this was back on the 360. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while since I've really seen this, and I'm still just blown away that like this actually happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just so fun to watch. It's great.
And it's a legitimate like bullet dodging action packed experience. And so this is also going to be the very first YYR Games title with DLC.
Ooh.
I mean, don't get too excited. I only really have two things. Soundtrack, which actually is created by the very same person I mentioned in chat earlier who works IT for Jersey Jack. So
awesome.
It'll be really easy to get in touch with him and see if he has anything to share with you. But the soundtrack is great, and he's actually thinking of making a remixed soundtrack for this version. So, you know, it'll be great if you like the music. You'll be able to buy it probably for like $1 or $2. And then also for those people who either don't have time or are very lazy, I'm planning to have a DLC item called I'm Lazy, Here's a Dollar. And it will unlock everything for you.
I'm Lazy, Here's a Dollar. I love.
Yep. I approve.
I like that you're just calling it what it is.
And I mean, really, the remix options, I think it'll be for those people that are, you know, they don't have time or they just don't feel like it. Yeah, they can pay a dollar. But for everybody else, I think it'll be a fun puzzle to figure out which options, you know, adjusting them which way will allow you to increase your score. Because one of the questions I got about the first one, because the score is measured in money, because America. But so many people at conventions ask me, well, what do you do with the money? And I'm like, well, it's just your score. And they're like, oh. But now there's something you can do with the money. You can spend it on these unlocks.
Or you can just be lazy and give you a dollar.
Or you can just be lazy and give me a dollar. I won't turn it away.
By the way, your DLC is getting a huge response in chat in a good way.
Oh. nice.
I love it. Let's see. She-Hulk 10 is asking, though, on Xbox One, ? But this is all Steam, right?
For the moment, it is all Steam. However, because of the Xbox One Creators Program and the fact that, you know, you don't need any concept approval, I am planning to bring Falling Plus, Sharpshooter Plus, and Bungie Ferret Tossing 1.5 all to Xbox One, hopefully this year, for the same price and with the same features as the Steam releases, except for achievements, because we're not allowed to have those on Creators Program.
Right. All right, fair enough. I'm so excited. I can't wait to experience these games again on PC. I'm so happy for you as a indie developer. I know these games are not bringing trucks fulls of money to your house, but you know what? I think the people that do discover them enjoy them, especially because, you know, you very much reasonably price these games, and I think they're a lot of fun. So, and obviously, I'm always going to be a little partial to you because you've been such a supporter of the show over the years.
Well, what's not to support? It's a great show.
I really appreciate that. And you do great stuff with your games. So, well, best of luck to you with these releases. Obviously, when we know the exact days, we'll be sure to relay that information here at OLR and let people know. But while we are, I am going to get back to the rest of the show. Is there anything else you want to part ways with here?
Well, actually, I was thinking of sending an email, but I figured I'll just chime in on this. I may let you have your drag race time this week. About the loot box topic from last week's show.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something that the platform holders could definitely do that wouldn't probably be all that difficult to implement and probably would make a big difference. If you go to the PlayStation Store, you know how they have like, well, this is a game, this is add-on content, this is demo, this is video. They could create a category called virtual currency or, you know, something like that. And it's like whenever you go and buy add-on content for a game, you get a warning. Yeah, so you need this game in order to use this. And if you own this game on PlayStation Plus and you lose access to it, you won't be able to use the add-on content anymore. They're very good about warning you about that. Why not warn people, okay, so you're about to buy virtual currency that can be spent on this game. It can only be used in this game. It is not worth money. There are no refunds. And you may be able to spend it on luck-based items. You know, why not that?
Yeah, I like that idea of, you know, bringing more visibility to it right there in the store. Like what, you know, I know you're kind of going a slightly different direction, but maybe like, you know, just kind of calling out this game has loot boxes, this game has currency in it. You know, it's kind of like an extra step that the stores can do. Because again, I feel like if the developers aren't going to kind of regulate it, then the stores kind of have to do it. And if they don't do it, that's when the government's going to do it. And I don't think any of us trust the government to do it right.
Those crotchety old people. I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, YYR, again, best of luck. It sounds like you're going to have a very busy summer. And but I hope, above all else, I hope the baby has a wonderful first birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
And yeah, hey, keep doing what you're doing and have fun.
All right. We'll try our best. Take care, my friend. It's always good to hear from you.
All right. See you later.
All right. See ya. All right, YYR with some world exclusives. I feel like E3's already begun.
I forgot to mention
while
he was on the phone.
Oh,
but
no.
Like,
well, he might still be in chat.
Remember last week we were confused because he sent us an email about something, about a dream game idea that he was going to implement. And we were like, I don't remember what the hell that is.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the hell that is. So.
Yeah, I forgot to ask him on the phone. What the hell? I do recall something coming up about a Pixel Shits revision.
Oh, okay.
Of some sort, which he didn't address. But I you know, that's, you know what? I'm sure YYR has a whole list of like dream projects he's got to do.
That's
but I support these games getting a second life on Steam. So I'm all for more people discovering Sharpshooter. I mean, even myself, I kind of said like, the shooter on the 360 controller wasn't my favorite thing. Like I still want to support what YYR is doing, but you know, I prefer these other ones. But like to be able to do this on Steam, I think with the mouse, I'm gonna super be into this. So I'm excited. I'll definitely stream the game whenever YYR will let me. So whether I get a sneak peek or if I have to wait for release, right, like the rest of you, whatever happens, we'll do a stream at some point. So okay, well, anyhow, let's move on. We have more news to get to. Rapid fire news, actually. Travel around the world and check out some quick news stories going on. Who's starting us? Loki?
That would be me. So Steam Link is finally coming to iOS. So it's been available on Android devices for a while now, and now it's available on iPhone, iPad, and Apple TV. So you can actually stream your Steam library to those Apple devices. So there's a way to game more on, you know, other Apple devices. So cool. So go check that out. It's free. I still have yet to use mine. And I even have a Steam Link, but I haven't gotten a chance to use it. So, oh well. Someday I'll use it. And then finally, I guess we got some more news about the Mortal Kombat reboot, the movie, that is. So it was announced a while ago that it was going to be rebooted, and apparently there was some more, I guess, social media tweets and stuff about it. So I guess we're going to be seeing it sometime soon. Basically that, you know, I guess it's coming from Greg Rousseau. He says, if anyone has any concerns, if our director, Simon McQuaid, will stay faithful to Mortal Kombat, I urge you to go back and look at some of the video game commercials he directed. His PS3 Michael spot still gets me every time I watch it. And that was the one that was, I remember that commercial. That was the one for the PlayStation where they're all kind of like, you know, this is for Michael. It's all the PlayStation characters.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So,
that was a pretty.
Basically, letting you know that, hey, you know, he is a big fan of video games. So, I mean, that's better than, hey, let's take Sonic the Hedgehog and make that into a movie because Smurfs did good and Alvin and Chipmunks did good.
Moving on. Let's, speaking of movies and things that became video games, how about Ghostbusters? You know, there was a Ghostbusters video game in 2009.
I mean, terrible, and it was a reskin of another Japanese game.
I was partial to Ghostbusters from, like, the 80s.
The 2009 one?
No, not 2009. Sorry. I'm talking about, like, the old arcade one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the arcade
one. I'm sorry. The one in 2009 was good. I was just thinking
the 2009
one's
basically Ghostbusters 3 because it was all the original cast lending their voice and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the classic Activision game from the 80s. So I think what you're thinking of was arcade.
It was an arcade game, and it was a reskin of a different game.
Got it. Okay, that's not what but that's not what this is. But anyway, that game, that the Ghostbusters 3, that game, you know, you haven't been able to buy that on Steam since 2017, and people just kind of assumed, oh, licensing ran out, something happened there with that whole thing, maybe because of the new movie.
Thought about it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really give it a lot of thought either because the game was kind of old, right? Apparently, the Taiwanese game software rating website has shown that this game might be getting a remaster because there's a new listing up. Ghostbusters, the video game remastered. Mad Dog Games is the publisher who did things like World War Z and NBA Playgrounds. Obviously, there's no release date, but this does show that this is being planned anyway for Xbox One. So it would probably be safe to assume that most of the, especially considering the age of the game, probably most, at least PlayStation 4, Xbox One, probably PC are going to be your big platforms. Yeah. Switch, maybe not, just depending on how intense the remaster is. Can't imagine it's at the level where it won't even run on the Switch. So be curious to see, though. We'll wait for something official, but that'll be great for fans of Ghostbusters. Also, we mentioned earlier in the show that Team Sonic Racing is coming out this week. I guess I was the only one here in studio kind of interested in that one.
I mean, it looks okay. I wasn't as excited as the first. I think a lot of the stuff that came out later on, the DLC, was kind of exciting. Like, you know, like the whole Shenmue and driving the Outrun arcade cabin.
I get it. Like, you know, and all the characters in the other one kind of made it.
They should have Mario as a DLC character.
Well, guess what? There's going to be no DLC. That's the big news this week. There's no DLC for Team Sonic Racing. And so they say they could take content and sell it as DLC. This is Sega's Aaron Weber in a statement saying, this is just all the content that's going to be in the game is right there at launch. We're not going to charge you $3 later for characters that were cut out of the game. It's all there, and you'll unlock everything as you go through. So there it is. There's just no DLC everything they want to do is just going to be up front. Kind of hard to complain
about
that.
How games were.
Yeah, I know. It's how the games used to be, right?
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, you know, there's two things that I like. Soul Calibur and cats. What do they have in common? You can fight a game with a cat on your head now. Basically, there is a bunch of cosmetic DLC that has been put out for Soul Calibur 6. And you get a bunch of pretty clothes and tuxedos and stuff. And cats. Cat hats. That's all. Cat hats.
Not the cat in the hat, but the cat is a hat.
And on your shoulder. So cat shoulder pauldrons or whatever. And on top of that, it's 150 different customization items and 97 music tracks from the previous series. But number one, cats. Really, it's all cats. And number two, speaking of some Bandai Namco stuff, Harada Katsuhiro, who is the Tekken producer, is now general manager at Bandai Namco. So that puts him in charge of course, still Tekken, but Ace Combat, Soul Calibur, Dark Souls, a bunch of others, some of their sports titles. So, no vacay for him, huh? And then as far as Tekken, Michael Murray will be helming the series going forward. He was with the franchise for Tekken 4, and now he's going to be producing the future sequels. Stay go.
All right. You know, I thought I heard on kind of a similar note, I thought I kind of heard like an update on Tekken Cross Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. And the update is basically, we're not sure it can happen. And it was kind of a downer.
I think the
it's too late.
The word
too
is late. Whatever.
Yeah. I would have still liked it, but whatever.
What ifs?
You got Akuma in Tekken 7. Take it or leave it.
Be happy with what you get.
Yes, that's right. All right. Let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates.
2 weeks of release dates now.
Well, we read them last week when you weren't here, just so you know.
What?
Yeah, when you weren't here.
But I mean, no, I mean this week and next week.
Oh, hello, right, because we're not here next week. Yes,
I mean,
you.
I understood what she was
no,
saying.
No, I'm okay, I'm a little slow. You don't have to call it
so
out.
So what you get for all those Oreos, Rob?
Don't be calling out to all the listeners and everybody what I'm doing during the break on this show.
I wasn't talking about the break. I'm talking about all the Oreos.
Meanie.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway.
I'm actually going to be stopping for mint Oreos on the way home.
Let's check out some release dates. I guess, sure, for the next 2 weeks if you want. But just
sure, let's do it.
Make sure we know which what's what week.
So for this coming week, we've got Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered on Nintendo Switch. Atelier La Luna, the Scion of Arland, that's going to be on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Dauntless on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Observation on PC and PlayStation 4. Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil Zero, all on Nintendo Switch. Team Sonic Racing on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Total War Three Kingdoms on PC. And then the following week, we have Little Friends, Dogs, and Cats on Nintendo Switch. That is as close as you're going to get to Nintendogs on the Switch. So there you go. Among the Sleep Enhanced Edition on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Blood and Truth on PlayStation 4. Oxygen Not Included on PC, Mac, and Linux. That one looked interesting. I thought I saw a trailer for that one. It reminded me of, like, Portal almost. And then Cricket 19 on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Pixark on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That gets us into June. So stay tuned for June.
All right, stay tuned for June. Meanwhile, we'll travel to Japan and check out some of the releases coming out there. On May 23rd, Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered is out on the PlayStation 4. Also, a new headset, if you're into peripherals, an official headset there on May 23rd. Otherwise, it's a pretty quiet week on the 23rd. As we move into May 30th, we have a couple other new games. Blood and Truth, as well as that VA11 Hall A, that Valhalla, that kind of like hacker game. It actually gets a physical release in Japan as well on the 30th of May. So that's pretty cool. And that, again, is with a game called Blood and Truth. And that's pretty much what your May looks like on the PlayStation 4 in Japan. I'm trying to peek ahead here at the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch has some other stuff. A lot of, again, peripherals. But that Assassin's Creed 3 remaster is also on the Switch, as is Biohazard Origins Collection. Of course, that's Resident Evil in Japan. And then a game called Shiritsu Berubara Gakken comes out on...
What?
Is that a big game?
Well, you remember the other ones with Shiritsu Justice Gakuen? Is it a rival schools?
It doesn't look like a rival schools because it looks like a school-based game, but it looks like, again, like a story.
Because like the moment that you said that, I instantly thought of rival schools because
no.
It was...
And it's not Capcom anyway. It's Idea Factory.
Okay,
so that should
well,
be enough
whatever.
Right there.
Then whatever.
Sorry to get you excited.
Don't care.
And then let me peek ahead at the 30th on the Switch. A game called To All of Mankind is out on the Switch that week, as well as, again, that VA11 Hall A Valhalla is also out on the Switch in Japan that week. And that is pretty much your releases for Japan. So how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have some. We have on the 20th, we've got Killing Floor Double Feature, Team Sonic Racing, Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. On the 21st, Everybody's Golf VR. 22nd, Total War Three Kingdoms Limited Edition, TT Isle of Man Ride on the Edge. On the 23rd, Atelier Lulua, the Scion of Arland, Dollhouse for the King. On the 27th, Cricket 19. Also on the 27th, Little Friends, Dogs and Cats. Aww. Spellforce 3 Soul Harvest Limited Edition. On the 28th, we have Among the Sleep Enhanced Edition, Blood and Truth. And on the 30th, we have Fun Fun Animal Park and Home Sweet Home. And Kultodama, The Seven Mysteries of Fujisawa. And Trover Saves the Universe and Pixark. That's it.
All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more release dates. And I imagine as summer E3 comes up, We're probably going to have some surprise summer releases, so that'll be fun. We always know E3 is a good time for the whole, and it's out today, sorts of news. So now let's go to our mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorites on the air. I think we have a couple emails tonight.
We have three.
So we didn't need YYR to save us from a drag race chat, but I'm glad YYR called in nonetheless.
Well, I do still want FUs later, but... So, first one comes from Robert M. Rob, on the variety of Pokemon in Detective Pikachu, a lot of Pokemon got cut. This is a quote from you. Me to myself, how many of that HM do they have anyway?
I get the joke. Yeah, I get, because cut is a move. Forget it.
I haven't been able to find the Labo VR expansion kits yet, even on Amazon. Any idea if this is a Nintendo Shop at Home exclusive, or I'll be able to find them retail sooner rather than later?
Labo what?
Labo VR. Yeah, I haven't seen them in stores anywhere.
They've been sold out.
So this is just an LOL Nintendo and peripherals never stay in stock.
It's kind of boring, though. Like, I have them built in my house, and we haven't touched them at all. The robot kit, though, was marked down to $39 this weekend. But I got to be honest. I built it. I played it for a little bit. I'm probably not going to touch it again. It was.
And I heard the VR Zelda thing was not good.
It's No, and the VR Mario thing is kind of I'm not going to be honest. Like, going, I had fun building them. I'm not going to buy anymore because it's a bunch. Like I thought it was going to be. It's a bunch of garbage that I built.
But what about the Nintendo Labo bacon griller?
Until it can bake great, or grill bacon. I have
grill
a bunch
bacon. What?
I have a bunch of bacon in my fridge. It ain't grilling any of it, so, that's unfortunately of no use to me. That's my worry. It's just that it's going to be a thing that you build, and it takes up a ton of space. And, yeah, I know there's extra pieces that they're like, look, see, it doesn't take up that much space. But it still takes up a lot of space, and I have no place to put this stuff. And right now it's just sitting on my kitchen table among the pile of other stuff. So, yeah, my kids aren't interested in playing it. I thought that they would be all gung-ho. Oh, let's play the VR games. No, they really moved on to just anything else.
All right.
So next mail.
Yes.
All right. Hey, OLR, Frodo Swaggins here. I remember a few months back, Rob and Bobby were messing around with one of the updates on No Man's Sky. I was wondering if you've heard anything about the Beyond update that is supposed to release this summer. I guess it's a massive 3-part update. I just read on the website that they will announce No Man's Sky Online. The paragraph stated the following, quote, No Man's Sky Online includes a radical new social multiplayer experience which empowers players everywhere in the universe to meet and play together. Whilst this brings people together like never before and has many recognizable online elements, we don't consider No Man's Sky to be an MMO. It won't require a subscription, won't contain microtransactions, wince, and will be free for all existing players, end quote. I've never given this game a chance because there just didn't seem to be enough there for me to want to invest any time in, but I'm wondering if this update may potentially get me into the game. Any thoughts?
That game really has, and I don't know anything that you don't already know. I mean, we just know kind of what's out there officially. I don't know if we'll get more insight at E3 or what. Probably not, because I guess I don't think there'll be a lot of focus on the game, but it sure is really neat how much support, especially when you consider like how much the internet really shat on that game when it came out, because they felt that the creators and Sony and its marketing had overpromised and underdelivered, which at this point is neither here nor there, because they've really hit the pavement hard over the past couple of years and trying to make that game more into what that original vision is. So I think the fact that they are continuing to support it in the way that they are, and they are creating these free updates and things of that nature, I think it's a goddamn miracle, quite honestly, because EA would have pulled the online services by now. Let's be real. So I think it's really cool. And I think, I think if you've been looking at the website, you've been watching the live streams that Bobby and I were doing in the past and stuff, and you think, hey, there's something here that interests me, go for it. Especially if you get on a sale or something like that. I don't think it's in the Epic Store, so you're not going to get a sale there. But, the game has been out for a little while. I imagine when these expansions first come out, the game's going to go back to full price to it, and that's kind of what's happened before with these big updates. They charge full price for the game again because they know people want to buy it again to check it out. So if you see a sale kind of before that happens, I would say it's a really good time to pick up the game. But at the same time, what's wrong with paying full price? Because the developers have shown that they are very committed to this game when I think a lot of other people in this industry would have walked away from it a long time ago. So I think that part is commendable.
Mm. Next email?
Yes, please.
All right. Hi, all. It's the one and only Metal Mayhem, or Ragenator if you'd prefer. I thought I'd write in this week with a nostalgia-filled email. By the way, it's not a novel, so this is great. So as we know, Ragenator has been prone to...
Novels.
Novels, yes.
Right. So now it's just a novel question.
Now it's a novella. So let's hop in the way back. Okay, first of all, you wrote way back, which is okay, but in Rocky and Bullwinkle, it's an acronym WABAC, way back. Just saying. So let's hop in the Wayback Machine and travel to the days of yore, before the days of YouTube, Twitch, and their ilk. Back to the days where if you wanted to find out about a game, you had to read magazines, look at kiosks, stores, borrow from a friend or rent them, and see commercials on TV, meaning the 1980s through virtually all of the 90s. Growing up in this era as a kid and teen, for me, game commercials flooded the airwaves, and a lot of these commercials I found to be quite memorable or sold me on specific games and or systems. It's hard to forget commercials for games like Super Mario 3, people chanting Mario and zooming out to see Mario's face. There's the Dr. Mario commercial, Donkey Kong Country, Final Fantasy VII, multiple versions of that commercial. My favorite is the reset button one. The Sega Yell commercials. Sega! Mortal Kombat, etc. Too many to list without droning on. A lot of these I remember fondly and have sold me on a game or system. All this being said, I pose this question. Are there any old school commercials from the 1980s or 1990s that were memorable for you or sold you on a game or systems? Bonus points will be awarded if Loki says the space weasel landed on Uranus. Just KLOL. What? By the way, this is a very well-written email.
Besides that crazy last sentence, but okay.
Okay.
What about Space Weasel?
It landed on Uranus.
It must have been a commercial that I missed. I don't know. Or he's trying to get you to say something to clip it. I don't know. All right.
I remember the old Zelda commercial, which didn't sell me on the game, but it was terrible.
Is that the one where they – because I was going to actually name that one.
Weevils!
Yeah, they're good. Tektites. Levers! They're naming all the enemies in the game.
And it has nothing to do with the game.
Nobody remembers the actual names. I mean, you might remember like an Octorok and stuff, but you don't – really remember the
but
names
you
of
only
things.
Remember the Octorok because of either the cartoon or the CDI
or that bad commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, one of those.
You know which one though kind of actually got me interested in the game, and then when I found out that my papa had it, I was really excited. Was the commercial for Abadox. It had like the slime come out of the machine, and you know me, I'm grossed out by that type of stuff anyway, but it says the world's most disgusting game or something like that, and I was like, I kind of won't play that. And then my papa had Abadox, and I super liked it, but I always associated the commercial with being excited to play Abadox.
Which has
a classic soundtrack.
This is a little bit tangenty and not the original question, but too bad. Do you remember how much like box art would sell the game too? And do you remember a game called Phalanx on the Super Nintendo? It was like
Phalanx.
Phalanx, that's it. And it was, you know, we didn't know how to pronounce the games. So, and it was like the box art, and you got to look this up. It was like some old dude playing a banjo sitting there while there's like a star going off on the side, a star going off in the sky. It was like a shoot 'em up game, and like the box art had nothing to do with the game, but it was one of those things where I was like, this is so fucking random. I remember renting games. It's like, what is this old dude with a banjo game? I have to try that. Cuz back in the day before there was Twitch and all that, I rented a lot of games to test
them out. Well, and the thing is that the Japanese box art totally had to do with, you know, what the game fucking is. They thought that by putting, and like there was an interview or something with the dude that designed it or whatever. And he was, although the thing I thought was funny about the Japanese one is it looks like a giant space dildo. But it was done to get that what the fuck factor and get people interested in the game because they would be talking about the box. I am going to link the box art in the chat.
So Jamie, I know you're doing classic soundtrack this year, and then you're going to do 16-bit soundtracks next year. So in 2021, I think you should do classic box art of the month.
I could do that.
Okay. Are we going to put that in the wiki? Coming in 2021, classic box art of the month. But I, what I love is that the chatters, of course, already found that, and we're putting that up there. And thank, yeah.
It doesn't it look like a giant, giant green dildo with balls?
Anyway, okay, back to the original question. I'm sorry, I did a tangent, but you know what? It was worth it. So commercials. I don't remember the video game commercials as much as I remember. Okay, you know the commercial from the 80s for like video game related things that really sticks out in my mind. Nintendo, it's for breakfast now. Nintendo, that's the one I remember.
Wow.
Outside of everything else, I remember that goddamn Nintendo cereal commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also remember shows like Starcade and Nick Arcade, because those are just fucking commercials for video games. Right?
Well, it was watching Starcade that made me super want a Neo Geo.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'm never going to get a Neo Geo. Because number one, Alabama, you weren't going to find a Neo Geo. And then when I did find one place that had a Neo Geo, it was like $800 in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then guess what happened? I moved out here. And guess what Dan had? A fucking Neo Geo. Look, Neo Geo.
Did you marry for a Neo Geo?
I did marry him for a Neo Geo. You know what he got? You know how he got it, right?
No.
He traded a Sega CD for it.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And guess what we have now? Huh. A bunch of Sega CDs and a CDX.
Time does a lot. Loki, do you remember any commercials, gaming commercials as a kid growing up?
No, I don't. I don't remember any, unfortunately.
All right, fair enough. I remember. Was it Mario 3 where everybody was standing out in the street streaming Mario?
That was the one he mentioned.
So it was. I do remember that
about
one
the panning out and it being Mario's face.
Yeah, you named all the good ones.
But the ones that really, and I'll put it this way, the ones that made me actually want to play a game were ones that showed gameplay, and you know, and I'll be honest, I had already kind of gotten out of my watching TV phase. Probably in like my early college years, so like 96, 97, I wasn't really watching a lot of TV.
I was raised on Nickelodeon.
Except for Saturday Night Live and 120 Minutes in Headbangers Ball. That was like I would watch some stuff. I still watch cartoons, you know, and I was watching my anime, but I wasn't really watching a lot of like packaged TV. So I missed a lot of commercials in the late 90s.
You know who were celebrities to me growing up were those kids on You Can't Do That on television. That's how much Nickelodeon I watched.
You
back
and
in
your
the day.
Alanis.
No, it's not even that. Like that. In some ways, that connection is just very random because she was only on like two episodes of the show. That's the part they don't tell you. She wasn't like Lisa Ruddy or something. She was only on two episodes of the show. But anyway, those were like celebrities. That and the cast of Clue, the movie. Were like celebrities to me. So I've always, I loved
Tim. They were celebrities anyway. I mean,
loved Tim Curry long before the Rocky Horror Picture Show, believe it or not.
Well, yeah.
Because I mean, there was Annie. I loved that movie growing
Worst
up.
Witch.
Orphan Annie, right? I didn't really
Labyrinth?
See the Worst Witch.
Not Labyrinth. Legend.
Legend.
Which I still can't watch all the way through.
I don't think I watched Legend growing up. I don't remember watching
it way
later.
Devil. And it was beautiful.
I've seen it now, but yeah.
But.
It.
It. you know. I don't. Funny enough, even though I do all the white face and drag makeup, I am still scared of clowns.
Sure.
True story.
Yeah.
But I actually saw someone walking out of Party City. Yes, I went to Party City.
Me too.
The one by my at I'll just say Delta Shores.
Yeah.
It's closing
that's,
out.
That's, yeah. I went there, and that's where I got, because I was hosting a masquerade burlesque thing, and I got a purple mask for like 50 cents.
And I was going to get, though, a Mugman mask to put on the wall, and it was damaged. I messaged you about it.
I'm gonna put on what I got for $14 at Party City. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, you know, I was going to say, you know, that was the movie for me that made me fall in love with Madeline Kahn, and... You know, I already knew Leslie Ann Warren from other movies. I don't know what else she's done since then. Mission Impossible. Okay, Rob says Mission Impossible. But I mean, that was kind of the thing. I mean, I don't really, though. I can't think of anything else. What were other things that you remember?
About-
oh, here's Rob's back. Oh, I had a feeling you'd get the purple jacket.
Did you see this on the rack? And you were Rob's going to buy that.
$14
for this jacket.
I came really close to buying one for one of the sisters who loves purple.
Well, there were two on the rack. I bought the large one, which still won't even button. I don't know what that says. But Don't I look like the Grimace and the Hamburglar had a baby?
Kinda.
Yeah. So there you go.
You're the gay agenda. Rob's costume That's is right. the gay agenda.
I'm here to steal the gay agenda. No. So yeah, I bought this, and I'm even wearing a purple shirt right now, so it works out. Yes. So I bought this suit top for $14. I'm sorry, podcast.
I bought
listeners,
a leotard.
But it's a hideous purple suit, and I love it.
I bought a leotard. You know what you should do?
What?
Stone it.
Stone the jacket?
Stone the jacket. Stone the lapels.
Oh my God, I love that idea. Or like on the back, I'll put something in purple rhinestones.
No, you know what I have?
What?
I have a black felt skull.
You know what I want? A bedazzler.
Well, no, let's
bedazzle the shit out of it.
What has happened to this show?
we take that black felt skull of mine.
Don't you think I take this show seriously?
No. Listen to my idea. It's great. And we gold glitter it and put that on the back of the jacket.
So I just want to point out, if Metal Mayhem was sending in an email to completely derail this show with his innocent question, congratulations, you succeeded. All right. Let's move on. You want to do another story for us? Like, do you want to talk about video games?
Yes, let's talk about video games.
Are you mad that we're not talking about video games? All right, yes, Loki, tell us about video games while I take this stuff off.
All right, so Sega has announced some more games that are going to be coming to the Genesis mini console pretty soon, including Mega Man, The Wily Wars, Street Fighter II Special Champion Edition, and Ghouls and Ghosts. Along with that, though, there's going to be some other additional games that were announced as well from other people or other publishers other than Capcom. So we have Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Beyond Oasis, Golden Axe, Phantasy Star 4, The End of the Millennium, Sonic Spinball, Vector Man, and Wonder Boy in Monster World.
Squee.
So that's what we have announced so far. 30 games announced so far. So I'm wondering, is there more? And though, now that they've announced all of their I don't know if it's all of the Capcom games, but they are mentioning Capcom games. Sadly, it doesn't sound like there's any, The Lion King? Oh, I think, Aladdin was Capcom, though, wasn't it? Or was that Acclaim?
I think Capcom had a Disney license back then because they're the ones that did, like, DuckTales on the NES. And
I remember that, but, like, I don't remember if, like, Acclaim did, like, The Lion King and stuff like that.
Those are probably going to be trickier licenses to get anyway. There's more IP involved with that stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Well, they have the Mickey Mouse game, though.
Dark Tetsuya says Aladdin on Super Nintendo was Capcom, Genesis was Virgin.
Ah.
So maybe the different platforms had different license agreements.
Well, they have Castle of Illusion, World of Illusion, so, I mean, they've been having some talks with Disney.
There you go. All right. Moving on, I suppose. Let's talk about some drama with Call of Duty. There may be some changes going on for 2020. So your reliable schedule of what Call of Duty games come out which years may be changing a little bit. Apparently, there are some insider sources claiming that Activision changed from the original plan. So instead of Raven and Sledgehammer doing a single-player game, Treyarch is going to be doing Black Ops 5 in 2020. It's going to be a Cold War-set game, is what they're saying. Raven and Sledgehammer are going to be doing supporting studios, adding a story to this title, which is apparently pretty multiplayer heavy.
What Black Ops 4 was, and meh.
They're going to be saying it's cross-gen, so they're saying it's going to be like PlayStation 5 as well as PlayStation 4. Going to kind of do that. And this year, at least in 2019, Modern Warfare is expected it's going to be a return to the Modern Warfare. There may be a free-to-play part of that as well, like Fortnite, Apex Legends, a Battle Royale type of free-to-play. We'll see. We don't know. I mean, again,
I'll wait.
Subject to change, right? But what should be also noted, Eric, because everybody loves a little drama, apparently the shakeup might be because of internal turmoil. Raven and Sledgehammer are arguing frequently during the development of this game. Yikes. So we'll see, though. I mean, E3 is just a few weeks away, and I'm sure they're going to announce at least this year's plan there, even though we might have to wait a little longer until 2020.
Is Activision – they always do something during, like, Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah, they'll kind of team up with one of the – well, Sony's not there this year, so if they're going to show anything, they're going to show it during Microsoft's, yeah.
Or they'll do their own thing.
Yeah. So
I wonder if Sony's doing, like, a stream of some – you know how they, like, do the – like, their inside –
You know, they haven't time and dated one, so either they're going to do it right before or maybe right after. But
I doubt that they wouldn't have any announcements that they're going to make. I just think maybe they're not going to be there. You would think that they would want to be part of like the conversation and not just kind of.
Maybe they're relying on third parties to make, because Square Enix kind of took their spot. So maybe Square Enix is going to be talking about PlayStation titles, you know, and that's what they're hoping.
All righty. We'll see.
Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they'll do a state of play that week, I'm sure. I don't know if it will be quite as timed at the same time as E3. It might be later in the week once people kind of stop talking about the. It would be smart, I think, for Sony to kind of do that if they're going to do it like later in the week. But we'll see. Anyway. SS2100 Matt says Sony is probably under lock and key because of all the leaks in the past. Who knows? Anyway, Dark Soccer, let's go to a story I know you're excited about, right?
Yes. I think I giggled and then, you know, messaged Dan immediately about it. And I'm going to read the translation from Famitsu directly. So, anyway, Sankatsu Usagi no Mori Company is announcing today, that was March 19th, that they're starting to publish a game software for home consoles via their game department. Beep! I just think it's funny it's called Beep. Their first release is the latest game on the Cotton series called Cotton Reboot. Oh, I love Cotton! It'll be released to Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Steam, and is based on the brush-up version of Cotton for the X68000, which is a pretty good copy of, version of Cotton. I'm excited, and I don't fucking care. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this goddamn game. I'm sure. There's no lockout.
Yeah, there's no region lock on
Switch.
It's
going to be mine.
Yeah. And for those unfamiliar with Cotton, for whatever reason, it's like a shoot 'em up, but with witches, right?
Yeah, and she's addicted to this candy called Willow, which apparently is really nasty and makes her throw up. But she also enslaves fairies to fight for her.
Cool.
And I have... One of the best games I have on my Dreamcast is Panorama Cotton. Not Panorama Cotton. That was the Genesis one that's like they made 600 of. Rainbow Cotton. But this one is the side-scrolling classic Cotton. So, that cool. means I actually will be able to like legit cosplay her now like I've wanted to.
All right.
So, because she's adorbs.
Well, let's move on. A couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to our listener roundtable. But I am going to caution you guys. I'm not going to wait too long to see if anyone wants to call because the show is running a little long. So I do want to wrap up if there's – I'm not. In other words, the window is not going to be very big. If you want to get in on the show, get in that green room ASAP. Otherwise, we may just wrap up. But for now, we got a couple other stories, including some big stuff going on in the Minecraft world, right?
Yeah, Lee? So Minecraft had their 10-year celebration this week, so they were talking about different things. So one of them is that they've sold 176 million copies worldwide.
That's a lot of copies.
That is a lot of copies. There's also the original version of Minecraft is free to play on web browsers now if you wanted to.
Right. Didn't that come up on last week's show?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
Because we knew they were going to announce something on the 17th. We just didn't know what that was
yet.
Right,
exactly. And that something is Minecraft Earth, which is like a Pokemon Go type of game. It's basically an AR game where you can build in the real world, and it persists there. So if you have the app, you can draw dicks literally everywhere, and they're just going to be there for you to run into.
World of dicks.
It's just dicks literally everywhere. It's just going to be so amazing. But,
dicks Earth.
But apparently there's going to be like some other stuff that you can do in the game. They haven't really kind of explained what
so
you do.
So I could go to your house and build a dick on the roof.
Yes, you could.
That's awesome.
But you can also like build stuff, I think, in like actual Minecraft and export it out. You are somehow going to gather resources also throughout the world. Hmm. So you'll be able to like get blocks that way and stuff. But I think it's awesome. I signed up for the beta. So yeah. You can do that. They have it on their website. You can sign up for it. So
I think it's also worth noting. I know a lot of the blogs and things and social media is saying it's like Pokemon Go. I think the only thing they
AR
have in common, they're AR games. But you're not collecting like little Minecraft creatures or anything. It's nothing like that. It's just basically it's the AR concept of what I do over here in my park, drawing a giant, we'll say boobs now because we've done a lot of dick. So if I draw boobs in my park, then you can come to my park and you're going to see these boobs that I drew because you're going to see the world through your phone.
Yes.
So, yes. Booby world or whatever. So
yes, it'll be amazing.
There will be no harassment in this game whatsoever. I'm sure
I'm just going to go around drawing, you know, vulvas for everybody.
Every school is going to be like, fuck this place with a big arrow pointing at it. Like, this is just... If you give humanity a giant blank canvas to write down all their thoughts and feelings, you're just asking for trouble. You know what I mean? My God. Can you imagine what people are going to build around the White House?
It's going to be glorious.
I'm very curious what how this game is going to be moderated. Will dicks be allowed, yes
Walls
or no?
Walls of fire.
All right. Yeah, Dark Tetsuya says, so time to penis or TTP for this Minecraft AR several nanoseconds? Yeah, immediately.
Within the first week, there'll be articles
in
on
beta.
Kotaku.
In beta. There will be, like, because I'm sure there'll be a beta. And, if I get in the Minecraft beta, the first thing I'm going to do, I swear, here and now, the first thing I'm going to do when I get access to Minecraft Earth is I'm going to go draw a dick on Loki's roof. That is going to be the first thing I'm going to do. So sorry to give away where you live here on air, but just look for the giant dick because Olive built it. All right. Moving on. One more story for you guys tonight. And it's a little bit timely because it is episode 777 after all. So why not a story about gambling?
Yeah.
So Unity, the video game creation platform, right? Not Unreal is kind of the other big one, but Unity is one of the big game writing and publishing platforms. And Unity, they wrote kind of a controversial tweet in a blood post. They wrote it in blood. They pricked their finger. What is wrong with my voice tonight? A blog post talking about some of the features of the Unity engine, you know, kind of like promotion things. A lot of it was just like the typical things you would expect, you know, as far as promotion. But what was also interesting was that it referenced upcoming features for gambling games. Because, you know, a lot of like video, like what does Konami do now? It's not just pachinko jokes and stuff. Like go to any casino and look for the Konami logo. It's everywhere. So, yeah. So anyway, that is, that's a thing that Unity got kind of razzed for a little bit. And they pulled their post and they wrote a little tweet saying, based on your feedback today, we removed a tweet and blog post relating to some upcoming 2019.1 features that are useful to creators of real money games. You know, because they got called unethical. You know, we had the addiction story earlier on, obviously, you know, gambling addiction is a very real thing. And video game fakey gambling things kind of, you know, when I say fakey, I mean like online gaming. Because, you know, those... On the dark web, if you will, you get a lot of ads for real money gambling sites and stuff because that's the thing you can do in some places. So, you know, maybe Unity doesn't want to embrace that so much. I don't know. But anyway, the original tweet, just so you know, said, we recently delivered our first release of the year, Unity 2019.1, which includes about 300 features, many of which are especially helpful for developers in the gambling industry. Well, woohoo. Anyway, there you go. That's the Unity issue. Do you think there's an issue with Unity supporting gambling games? I mean, it's kind of one of the – I don't know. Like, it's kind of – we all know it's happening. I mean, I understand where maybe it's
just
not
– making it easier for – I don't – it's just a game engine. Who cares?
Yeah. You can do a lot in Unity, so.
You can make porn – games in Unity. I mean,
but
you can,
don't talk about that, Loki.
But I mean, you can do whatever you want in Unity. It's a game engine, so it's who makes the games is who you gotta. I don't know. I don't think. I guess it's because they're making it easier. That shame on them. You know?
All right. Anyway, did you just make a Game of Thrones reference? By the way, you did shame. You just. I hear you say shame.
No shame on them.
Yeah. It looked like you were ringing a bell.
No, I'm not.
All right. Anyway. It's time for the listener roundtable. So if you want to give us a call, you can via our Discord if you want to join our green room. Or you can send us a question in the chat room if you want to. Get that in real quick. Let me check, though, real quick with Loki, see if there's any last-minute stories. I don't know if there was. I think we kind of we hit a lot. I mean,
to be honest, I'm just very scared to even go out on the internet right now.
Oh, because, yeah, what happened? Yeah, I understand.
So... I'm going to say no.
All right. What do you plan to do? So obviously we know Dark Sakura is going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of town. What are you going to do with your holiday weekend? Are you thinking about doing some streaming?
I'm probably
going
to try to stream on Sunday. We'll see if I get around to it. I'm going to let the wife know, listen, I'm not going with the kids because I spend like all weekend with them. I just don't want to. Like anytime now they're like, take us somewhere fun. And I have to spend a ton of money on them. They're like, we only get $10 to spend in the arcade. I'm like, dude, that's like $30 for all us to play arcade games. And you guys are going to blow it in like 2 minutes because you're going to play the stupid, you know, Flappy Bird. Sometimes it's Flappy Bird if that arcade It's like a dollar a game for stupid Crossy Roads. I'm like, you could play that for free at home, but we want the tickets to get garbage. Mm. Like, it's $10 for that one Tootsie Roll that you got. No thanks.
All right. Let me get to a question in our chat room, at least. SJ100 Matt says, are you all interested in the Nintendo Game Pass deal? Do you think you'll pick up on that Nintendo Game Pass deal?
Probably not.
I will.
Because I don't think so.
I know I'm going to buy Mario Maker 2, and there'll be something, Nintendo, if it's good for a year. I want to look at the terms, but if it's good for a year, there's going to be something I'm going to want later.
I guess it depends on what they announce. But yeah. But that's, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess we do have E3 to kind of see what is going to come out this year.
And that's all, but that's also digital stuff. I mean, I guess I buy everything digitally.
Yeah, I mean, I do like having, you're right, it's a digital thing, but, you know, so they're basically offering me the $10 I'd get for selling it used up front.
I've run out of space in my case to hold all the games we have now, so need a bigger case.
Bob Coffee in chat says, I prefer physical, but if I can get eShop cards on the cheap and I know it's a game I'll play all the time, I may consider digital. SJ100 Matt says, probably Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 and something else. So, yeah, that's a Switch thing that's coming before too long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure.
If all it's right. on there, yeah.
Anyway, can you guys hear Alan cooking in the other room? Because yeah. the sizzling is
it
loud.
It smells good.
Yeah, I think he's making...
Cat's waiting there for
yeah,
food.
I know. The cat is excited. All right. Well, anyway, since nobody else is in the green room, I think we'll go ahead and wrap up there because we've been running for about 3 hours now. So we do want to bring the show to a close. Thank you. I don't know why tonight's show was so long. It's weird. But anyway, we do want to thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight and tuning in and participating. Thank you, as always. We are the show where every gamer has a voice. But as we say here on air, if you tell a friend or two about the show, help us spread the word. It gets more voices here and more folks participating with us and more people to join in on the fun. So that's it. We will be back in 2 weeks. To see you again. We will not be here next Sunday, but please come out for Bobby Blackwolf. He'll still be here, and it sounds like Loki might be doing some
streaming
afterwards.
Yeah, we'll see.
So you'll still kind of be able to get your fix if you're around on Sunday.
I want to do something fun and special, but it's probably just going to be some you know.
I think even DDR, they'd be down with
it. Probably just
you.
DDR.
It's not. Don't sell yourself short. It's not just DDR. It's Loki DDR.
Yes. I haven't played in a few weeks. I've been like busy with other things, but I will try. I want to get back into all that stuff again. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, so let's get everybody's final thought. Dar Sakura, have a great time at DragCon.
I will. Have a great time in Chicago.
I will.
Bring me back chocolate.
You want your chocolates?
I want my chocolates.
All right, we'll see what we can do. Your chocolates are expensive, but...
Well, I'll see if I can get you a shade button if they're selling them this year.
Okay, we'll make a trade.
Okay.
All right, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think I'm going to stop for something on the way home. For reasons.
For reasons.
Also, Chair of Swords, whatever.
All right. My final thought for the night is go enlightened in Chicago. Come on, team. We can do it. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I can't wait to be disappointed by Game of Thrones.
Sounds
and it can be over, and I'll have to watch it again.
Sounds great. Until your wife finds something else to watch, right? All right.
Oh, anyway. She's already going to find stuff.
Right. That's going to do it for another episode here of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you again for tuning in and listening to our whole show this week. We really appreciate it. Thank you, the guys listening to us on the podcast. Thank you, those that are here live with us. And again, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Happy gaming. Have fun. Catch up on your backlog. But overall, don't be rude to people online. That's not nice. Take care, everybody. See ya.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.